back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Skip to the end.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Skip to the End podcast. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Gemma.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm really excited to record today. I'm in a great mood. How about you guys?
Yes.
Is it me? There's something really special about 82. It's the year of our favourite films that were ever released.
True.
Oh, yeah.
I was born that year.
Yeah.
And it's just a good, you know, it's just the 80s. It's an excuse to probably throw in a few 80s quotes and bits of music. So.
Yeah. And I think our topic's going to play into that. So what have we got on the show, Mark?
It's a huge one. It's our top three kids' films of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know our ages, and you'll know that it's probably going to be a few 80s films talked about.
I think a few. One or two.
So excited.
And to keep that level up, our main review is the latest Marvel flick, Thor Ragnarok.
I can't do that. No.
Go on.
No.
Oh my God.
I'm not Welsh.
Are you choking?
We've got a very odd rewatch this time round. We're going to be rewatching The Foot Fist Way, a film from Danny McBride and Jodie Hill. I'm really so very excited to see what you guys think of it.
Oh. I just want to talk about it now. I'm like, don't look at me, Ben. I don't want to give anything away. But talking about giving away, it's going to be an incredible competition on this episode. I don't want to go into it too much now. You've got to stick around for it. But all those drawings, they're going to win prizes. So find out in a few minutes if you've won or not.
Speaking of winners, I've been practicing this name for the past 2 weeks. Our movie masturbate is none other than Seth Rogen.
I really wanted her to mess up then.
I did it! Yes!
But it's such a small victory, and you shouldn't have had to spend time practicing that, really, should you?
Because I'm a dick.
Yeah, it's true.
Right,
can't even get a man's name right.
We've got so much more on the show as well. We'll have listener questions. We've got a brand new quiz, which is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. And we'll, of course, finish the show with our pop culture recommendations of the week. Now, we could sit here talking about all kinds of rubbish for hours on end, but I want to get into the meat of the show. Yeah?
Yeah.
Massively.
Let's get started.
It's time for the topic, and it's a great one to start this episode. I'm so excited. It's our top three kids' films of all time. You know that on some episodes, things are quite relevant, and you know it's sort of for that person. So Ben had his moment for Blade Runner. For me, I don't care about big releases. I just want to talk about films that I watched growing up. So the sooner that you two give me yours, I can start talking. So, you know, and normally we say, what rules did we apply, all this stuff. It's pretty damn simple. What's your favourite kids film?
Live action.
That's it. Oh yeah, that was one big thing, because I saw still a few people tweeting and stuff like Bambi.
Yeah.
That's just harrowing as well.
Face punch, you know what I mean? Stupidity. But anyway.
But we love you, listeners. Please do keep tweeting and posting on Facebook.
All your contributions are so golden to us. But let's get on with our incredible topic. Gemma, what's your first one?
It's funny you should mention golden, because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. It's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Nice.
Incredible. Take it the original.
Of course, God. I'm not... the new version. Willy Wonka. But
Johnny Wonka.
But the original was directed by Mel Stewart and stars the late, great, wonderful Gene Wilder as the titular?
She's lost it. Gene already. I don't know who Gene Wilder is. And it's titular.
Remember, everyone, start tweeting, because I get it in the neck on Twitter when I say things wrong, like Jack on the last episode. So you just heard that.
Oh, shall I start again?
Yes, please.
It's Gene Wilder, not Wild Man.
Perhaps he was a wild man.
He was, but he was a wilder in real life. And it's basically about a group of children who find a golden ticket in lots and lots of chocolate bars, and they get the chance to visit the enigmatic Willy Wonka in his chocolate factory.
What does that sound so funny?
Oh, I'm feeling silly today.
But I used to watch this every single day when I was a kid, and I love everything about it. Like the opening credits where you see sort of the chocolate being made. So it's like you see Kit Kats, you see like tea cakes and all this sloppy chocolate sort of being moulded into like these amazing things to eat. I love that. And every time I used to watch it, I go,
That's Kit Kat.
And I know, Ben, you're not a fan of musicals, but the musical score of this is just so enchanting and it's so memorable. Like, you've got the Candyman can, you've got I've Got a Golden Ticket, Pure Imagination, it's gorgeous, and it's just so nostalgic whenever I listen to it. I love the little morality parts, you know, the little vignettes with the Oompa Loompas. So they're like the voice of reason, you know. They basically teach you when you're a kid, don't be selfish, don't be greedy, and don't watch TV all the time. Unfortunately, I didn't listen to the Oompa Loompas, and here I am now. But I never knew if I loved or feared Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka.
He's a dark character.
Massively. I mean, at the beginning, you're not quite too sure how to react to him, but it's the bit when they're on the boat, and he just goes batshit nuts, you know. He's kind of like, the best way I can describe that, thinking about it now, is it's like a hallucinogenic trip. But right at the very end, he's the nicest guy ever. You know, he gives Charlie a big old hug and says, oh, the factory's yours, kid. And, you know, Charlie's like, sweet. It's just a magical film. It's the essence of my childhood.
We've talked about before on this show the best character introductions, and we had Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka when he comes out and he looks like he's frail, but then he goes into that role and jumps up. That's so cool, that intro.
When you were watching this film, and I want the honest answer, which kid did you want to be? Because you all wanted... I mean, Ben does look a bit like Mike TV a little bit. I mean, he had glasses and, you know, two eyes and a nose.
But
he had lungs. He had legs too.
But I always wanted to be him. I thought to be able to go inside a TV and stuff would just be incredible.
I wanted to be Farooka Salt because she got everything she wanted.
She was horrible.
She was. She was a massive bitch. But, I mean, and she got a comeuppance at the end of the day.
Big time.
So,
Ben's thinking, I don't know the characters.
It's all right.
I don't fucking know.
I've seen it. I know.
Who would you be then?
The fat one.
Augustus.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. He gets to swim in chocolate, which is pretty damn. I've always wanted to do that.
He does, but he probably also has type 3 diabetes.
Massively.
He's got such a rare form of diabetes, they've had to give it a new number. Type 3.
When he was swimming in the stuff.
And we all wanted that to actually happen. We all wanted the actual tickets to be produced with the tickets. Sorry, the chocolate to be produced. We're not going to get anywhere on this episode. We just call it this. Thanks for listening on the next episode.
Shambles.
I wanted to go out and buy a chocolate bar and have that opportunity to find a ticket. It would be incredible.
I used to do that when I used to open Kit Kats and go, and it would be the silver one. And go, oh my God, look. And my mum's like, Gemma, that's tinfoil, put it in the bin.
Ridiculous. Ben.
I'm going with an obvious one. Ghostbusters.
Oh, incredible. Yes.
And neither of you have it?
No.
I'm very surprised by that. It's one of the greatest films of all time. Not just one of the greatest live-action kids' films. It's one of the greatest films of all time. You could even argue that it might... It's not really a kid's film because there's a lot of adult humour in there and there's some swearing and stuff, but it's a film that I watched as a very young kid and I, you know, pretty much everyone of our age group certainly did. It's got one of the all-time greatest casts. Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Sigourney Weaver, you know, Ernie Hudson. It's just a phenomenal cast of actors at the top of the powers. And Bill Murray, of course, just wins the whole thing as Peter Venkman. He's just so sarcastic and so cool, as Bill Murray always is, and he just runs away with the film. I think my favourite character, though, is Peck, played by William Atherton. He's the dickhead, he's the arsehole that they hate. And the thing is, William Atherton made a career of playing those sort of dickheads. He plays a very similar sort of character in Die Hard as well. And he was just the go-to guy in the 80s if you wanted kind of an officious dick that the rest of the crew could
hate.
Officious
dick!
But there were so many good things in it. Stay Puft Man. I remember being a kid and that being one of the first cinematic whoa moments. You know, when Stay Puft first walks onto the screen, you're like, whoa. And that still sticks with me, first seeing the Stay Puft Man on screen.
When you see it now, it looks absolutely atrocious.
Oh, it's terrible, but you know.
I believe that he was that big in New York, walking around that big, just stamping on cars. It's insane.
It's so good. And it spawned so many cool toys, and I had them all. I had the Proton Pack, I had the Ghost Trap, I had the action figures, I had Ecto-1, the car was so cool.
Did you have the tower where you put the gunge and it actually all dripped down?
Had all that, yeah.
And mate, I always wanted that. My parents never got it. Every Christmas, like, I really want it. They get me the cars, like, yep, that's to go with the tower. Never got me the tower. If you're listening, Mum, where is it? Oh, I'll have it now. I don't mind. Now it's worth probably more than back then.
So, cough up.
Yeah. But it was amazing. Unbelievable. And Slimer looked great. They got it so right. And he doesn't look shit now. You don't watch it now and think, oh, that looks dated. He looks amazing. And those dogs that are kind of in the concrete and they kind of break up.
Yeah.
And that's the first time as a kid, apart from E.T., I actually shit myself. Terrifying. I actually, because it's like you said, it's a fun film. They genuinely scared me. I thought they could kill me. I thought every time I walked past sort of a museum in, you know, Shropshire, I would see sort of a similar style thing. And I genuinely thought they were going to break and start attacking me. It's not nice.
Museum in Shropshire.
He's building a very sort of deep picture of his youth, isn't he?
It was awful.
Walking past museums in Shropshire.
Oh, mummy, all quick, eight hide. Of them.
Yeah, in that very small little area. There's so many museums with dogs outside. But I was genuinely scared then.
Yeah, they were terrifying.
Massive.
Yeah.
I forgot about Ghostbusters. I want to kind of change my thing.
I would have bet cash money that you'd have this, Mark. I'm very surprised you didn't.
Well, my first one is an 80s film from 1984.
No.
There's going to be a lot of 80s talk today. And you guys, I'm sure, are going to love this choice. The original Karate Kid.
Yeah.
This is one of the most watched films. Ben, you, I'm sure, the same as me. Growing up, you wanted to be Daniel LaRusso.
Of course.
He had it all. Okay, he didn't when he first got there. But, you know, going to this new city with his mom, he had no dad. Mr. Miyagi basically being the father figure. That's all you want in life, is that guy to teach you how to be a martial artist to that standard, but not go to this big Cobra Kai gym where it's all professional. You learn by painting a fence. You learn by scrubbing a floor. By cleaning a car, you suddenly become the ultimate best karate fighter of all time.
That is how it happens. You don't have to train.
No,
you just have to
work. All these gyms that have people like £20 a month to learn, don't bother. Just buy yourself a rag and clean your dad's car.
Yeah.
Then you can do a massive uppercut.
But it is amazing. The soundtrack's the ultimate 80s soundtrack. It's a feel-good film on the same lines of sort of Rocky. You know, the underdog comes and beats Johnny's ass. Sweep the leg. He's got the perfect girlfriend, which we only talked about in the last episode. My crush growing up. What a film. Absolute masterpiece.
Yeah, it is a great film. I'm just thinking back on what you said at the start there. You asked me if I agreed that, you know, I grew up wanting to be the Karate Kid. Thinking about it, I didn't. I wanted to be
Johnny.
I wanted to be Cobra Kai. I wanted to be Billy Zabka. Always play the heel.
That's fair enough. He was quite badass. When he was on the beach, he was the cool kid and he had a lot more women around him. He knew how to play the game, but...
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
The one thing that I never understood about that film, and I still can't to this day... You know when you go to a fancy dress party, whoever have you ever seen turn up as a shower? Remember, he's got a shower curtain around him, a fake shower head, and that's where he gets people. Who turns up as that? I've never seen it.
I've never seen anyone turn up as a shower, but that makes me think of a good friend of mine, Macca, who is the best person on earth when it comes to fancy dress. He always thinks outside the box. So one year, I think it was like a pirate-themed party, so everyone was coming as pirates or parrots. He came as a boat. He had fashioned the hull and the stern of the ship and attached it to himself somehow. That's just how his mind works.
That is incredible. And if you can get photos, and if you are listening, tweet
Please.
Us the picture, because I want to see that stuff.
Well, evidently.
Oh, I'm loving this topic. Yes! Gemma, what have you got?
I've gone back to 1989, and I've gone with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I've got it too.
Yes!
Incredible.
It blew my tiny little mind when I was a kid. It's directed by Joe Johnston, who's responsible for Jumanji and Captain America, the First Avenger.
Good film.
Believe it or not. And it stars Rick Moranis, and the title pretty much explains the film. Machine shrinks four kids, and they find themselves trying to get back home and back to normal size whilst being stranded in the backyard, which is kind of turns into like this jungle.
Yeah.
You know, they have to try and battle their way through big giant mushrooms, Lego, a scorpion, and oh my god, baby ant.
It's too soon.
I watched this the other
it's
night.
It's too soon.
Honestly.
30 years has gone.
It is.
Oh my
it
god.
And why is it? I watched it the other night and I bawled my eyes out. It's because he goes, he's just a baby. It's like, oh, it makes it even worse. But I was 7 when I first watched this film and I was absolutely astounded. The special effects, even looking back now, it still stands.
The effects are amazing. The effects of the ant and the little scorpion and all, you know, how they make what is just a back garden with a bit of grass seem like a jungle scape. You know, it's amazingly well done.
I totally bought the fact that these were genuinely miniaturised and they have to kind of like, the only way to feed themselves is by stuffing themselves with a filling of Oreos in the garden.
You're breaking my heart right now. Seriously, you're telling me this isn't real?
You are tearing me apart, Gemma!
But look, it's the dog as well.
Yeah.
The way that he's like, everything about it.
Is it Quark?
The scene, Quark. The scene I love is when the kid's in the bowl of Cheerios.
Yes,
that's an amazing scene, and that looks brilliant.
Exactly. I mean, why don't they do films like this anymore?
I don't know.
They'll remake it.
I wish Rick Moranis did more. He kind of just took early retirement.
Yeah.
He was one of the biggest names. He was like up there with Steve Guttenberg for a wee while in the 80s, and then he just went, I've had enough.
Yeah.
See you later.
I miss him.
We've
talked about this so many times, what we do.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't matter about the fact that Rick Moranis is probably the only one I really recognise from. Oh, and the chick from Twin Peaks as well. Old policewoman... like behind the desk lady. I can't remember her name.
Her. Behind the desk lady.
Yeah. I know what you mean. And she's in it. She's in it briefly.
What was the sequel? Was it The Parents?
No, Honey. Ourselves. It's Honey, I Blew Up the Baby.
Oh.
Read of it what you will. Yeah, and then they shrunk themselves.
Yeah.
Then it died on its ass.
This is an interesting thing that I read the other day. In the original script for this film, one of the kids was going to die. So when they were out in the garden and, you know, dealing with the scorpion and stuff, one of the kids was going to die. Shit. That would have been a much darker film.
Oh, my God.
That is horrendous.
Yeah, and I think the studio went, no.
This is designed for kids.
We're not going to do that.
No. I'm glad they've not remade it. And happens on this podcast, you know this. It's being recorded right now in October. Give it 2 months. It'll be announced. They're going to do the official greenlit and it'll be starring loads of little twats. You know it's true. It's true.
Oh,
I thought I was getting on my voice right now.
It would star, not twats, it would star the kid from Room and 11 from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It'd be them.
That's it. And they'd ruin everything. But I like them, but they would ruin it.
Yeah.
Is it back to me already?
Yeah. Totally is.
1986, Flight the Navigator.
It's mine as well.
Are you really? Yeah. Yes. What a film. Unbelievable. And I kind of blame this film for my active imagination, because watching this as a kid, and this is what I think you said at the start, Ben, you watched a film so many times as a kid. We had so much time.
Yeah.
You'd watch the video until it wore out. Now I struggle to find time just to watch the rewatch in a week because of this stupid work malarkey. But you could sit there and you'd play the film, and even your mum and dad would come in, are you watching this again? You've watched it 4 times today. It's like, only 4, mum. I want to watch it for a 5th.
Yeah.
I miss it.
And the longest part of the day was having to sit there whilst it rewound.
That was the
hardest part of the day, waiting for the damn thing to rewind so you could watch it again.
And remember, when you took it back to Blockbuster Video, it had to be rewound. Otherwise, they get really pissy with you.
I know, be kind.
And what was really good as well, you wouldn't be lazy and be like, oh, I'll watch it in a week. You've hired it for one night, £3 for a night. Your parents were like, you need to watch this because it's got to go back by 6 o'clock tomorrow. And that's what I did with Flight Navigator. And I would have kept it and took any fine in the world, because this film blew my mind. And I don't care what anyone says, it's a sci-fi classic.
Yes.
And it is.
Yep.
Unbelievable film. It looks realistic. The spaceship, that whole silver, that doesn't look dated anymore.
No,
it
not
doesn't.
At all.
Scuzzbucket, one of the best characters of all time. It's impossible to say it, but it is.
Even the steps, where there's no like link, direct link to any of them.
Amazing.
It just took my breath away. And I always used to imagine when I was a kid, if I got like the single big chair, I'd pretend I was like the kid just going.
That's good. But the flight scenes genuinely look good.
We had buttons in our chair.
The flight scenes, that's how you want to steer. This is why we should be filmed. But you do, you lean one way. It's not all about this Star Wars shit where you've got a wheel. It's all about...
Hold on.
What?
Let's not go crazy.
Guys, your friends. Stop
Holy
it.
Moly.
But you understand that was a core motion. Yeah. It looked good and you could feel the real kind of movement. And it looked so, so good.
And I can never hear the Beach Boys I Get Around without thinking of this film.
Oh,
just
and
rocking
that
80s out.
Synth as well.
Yeah.
Everything is about it is just perfect.
Compliance.
I have very good residual memories of this film, but I can't speak to it too much because I haven't seen it in 20 years, I don't think. I need to watch it again soon.
Stick around for the rewatch shortly. Al's my favourite character, the guy that's from the service station.
Aww.
Amazing.
It is wonderful. Everything you've just said, I'm just going to echo. Yep. I ain't gonna sort of duplicate that. It's a bloody marvel. I love this film.
If you want an adventure film, I think it's probably the best one out there.
Yeah.
And fuck Lord of the Rings. This is the one.
And don't you feel really exhilarated afterwards? You're like,
massively. And it's still, and I said it, I'm going to keep saying it all the way through this topic, but it doesn't look 30 years old.
Not at
it
all.
Doesn't. It's just come out on a steelbook in Zavi. That's Zavi. I get shit off them.
Yeah.
But it looks as good as the day I remember seeing it.
There is going to be a remake of this.
Ah, oh, for fucking
I'm
hell.
So sorry.
The kid from
Room. Yeah. Him rocking out to Beach Boys.
Is that actually official?
I have heard word that they're going to be bringing us back. But rather than like the Beach Boys, they're probably going to do something, I don't know. Like, what do kids listen to these days? Like, I don't know.
Pussycat Dolls or something?
Sting? I don't know.
Sting?
I don't know.
What are you dribbling on about?
The kids love Sting.
Oh, all the time. Do you know what I mean? Every time I get on a bus, the kids at the back are just listening to, is it Harvest or whatever it is? Something like that. He must have a song called
Fields of Gold.
Fields of Gold.
Harvest.
Not far off.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah, you knew what I meant.
I know.
Message in a bottle all the time.
Sick, man.
Yeah.
Sick.
Ridiculous. Ben, save us, because we're talking shit.
We're talking stinger.
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go! Oh! Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go! I've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Not the
even
first.
One.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. Now, Mark, I know that you don't like this film, and I know why. It's because Corey Feldman didn't take up his role as Donatello in the sequel as he was in the first.
Couldn't afford him.
But what you have to remember, though, Mark, is that he's a really busy guy. He was probably recording his first album or in rehab or something. So, you know, they couldn't get him.
Work out the dates, Ben. He was writing Former Child Actor. At that time.
It could well have been. But it's the film doesn't hold up. It doesn't age. This is the complete opposite of the other ones where we've said, oh yeah, the graphics still look great 30 years old. They don't. It looks fucking awful. But I have such great nostalgic feelings for this for a couple of reasons. First is Vanilla Ice and the Ninja Rap.
Amazing.
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. And the second is the fact that big sexy Kevin Nash is in it as Super Shredder.
The one and only.
Yeah.
Diesel.
Diesel. Oh, if that's not a reason to watch it, then I don't know what the fuck is. But it is dumb fun. Emphasis on the dumb. Because it's not a smart film. And the thing is, after the first film, which was kind of dark and quite violent, because, you know, the turtles all have these cool weapons. After the first film, the producers were kind of like, this is great, but we want to make more money. We need to make it more kid-friendly. So they're not allowed to use their weapons in the second film. So they fight with, like, bits of cloth. Rather than the big swords and sticks they have.
The cloths they were cleaning their cars with to learn how to become fighters.
There you go, ninjas. That, yeah, nice. Exactly.
Appalling.
I love that Ben's picked the second one, which is known to be shit.
The first one I've still got respect for. I'll go back and watch that, and I think it's good. The second one is utter shite. And the third is even worse.
Yeah, it is, yeah. They do get gradually worse. It is objectively a bad film, but I have nostalgic feelings for it, so I'm picking it.
And it's to blame for eating a lot of pizza as a kid. Mm-hmm. And those figures were as good as the Ghostbusters ones. Yeah. My parents were great on that. They used to buy me them all. I had them all.
Yeah, me
Who's
too.
Your favourite turtle?
Always Donatello.
Me too.
Nah, Donatello rules.
Who?
Michelangelo.
Who?
Michelangelo. I don't know.
No, try again. Go on.
Michelangelo?
That was about right. Okay. Well, it took you five goes. I don't know.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Mike and Angelo. So it's like two little fellas. Yeah. Mike and Angelo.
One's his head and the rest is his body.
He's like Station from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
But he was just a proper, yeah, dude. Awesome, dude. By the way, that isn't the actual voiceover actor. That's me right now doing this.
I genuinely thought Mike and Angelo was in the room.
There was a TV show called Mike and Angelo on
ITV.
There was,
but it had nothing to do with turtles.
Come on, save me a little bit. Someone tweeting a picture of that or something to save me, and I meant that. This is great. How am I going to follow up that?
I don't know.
With the Goonies.
Oh, you guys!
1985, one of the greatest films of all time. Now, until I'd seen this film, I didn't realise what One-Eyed Willy's treasure was, because when I was in school, my PE teacher once locked me behind after when I was in detention and said, this is a hunt for One-Eyed Willy. And that's what I always used to associate it with. But then I realised it was a treasure hunt and not just him trying to bugger me.
See, the thing is, this could be one of Mark's classic trademarked gags. But on the other hand, this could have really happened and it would explain a lot about him.
Let's just leave it like that and no one will ever know.
Oh my God.
But back to the film itself. The hunt for One-Eyed Willy's treasure is epic. And I don't care what any of you say. Everyone wanted to be able to find that map in their parents' attic and go on. Did you not, Gemma? Even though you were a girl, you must have wanted.
We're laughing at the word parents is.
It's like a collective of Mark's mum and dad.
This is worse than when we got drunk on air. This is an absolute sloppy.
Can we pretend we're getting drunk so people realise that it's all meant to be? This is the film that I watched the most as a kid. Everything about it, you know, Chunk coming in and doing the truffle shuffle is so iconic. We see it on t-shirts. Sloth, hey you guys. Aww. The actual baddies in this scared me. That woman.
The Fratellis.
That woman scared the shit out of me. She had a man face. She was really butch. She had massive arms. She looked like she could really handle herself. And her sons looked horrendous. Proper gangster, didn't they? Really like harrowing characters.
But they were total bitches, though. I mean, Mama Fratelli, she sorted them out.
She knew how to control her kids, which is not what happens nowadays in supermarkets. We need more Mrs. Fratellis around. But did everyone love this film? Did everyone love Data? Did everyone love Corey Feldman?
Of course we love
Mouth himself. Yes. This is when he wasn't writing music and focusing on pure acting. Mm-hmm. And this film is just the ultimate. I don't care. I just love it. Everything about it I wanted to do. I wanted to go on this treasure hunt with my friends. I remember going in the garden and looking for stones with holes in so I could hold it up and try and see if there was somewhere that would match up that I could go and start looking for One-Eyed Willy. Never happened, but amazing.
I remember I watched this maybe about 5 years ago for the first time in 20 years. And one of the kids, I'm looking at him thinking, I know who that kid is. Who is it? And then it dawned on me, it was Josh Brolin.
Yep. Yeah.
What? He's the older brother. Yeah. The absolute arsehole older brother.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And this film is loud. This film is loud. It's like, it's literally like being in a five-year-old's party for about an hour and a half. It's just...
It's beautiful. And Cyndi Lauper is the soundtrack from the moment it starts.
It's a pretty cool song.
It's a fucking awesome song. The whole thing's awesome.
It's dope. Not as cool as Sting, though.
Yeah.
Sting knows where it's at.
True. An amazing film. I will never, ever get bored of it. And it's probably in my top 10 of all time. Of all films. Forget just the kids' films.
Yeah.
It's that damn good. Back to you. Or is that it?
That's me. Yeah.
Bloody hell. Yeah. Are we over already?
I know.
Let's go to the old social media that we love.
We do, and we very much appreciate you all. So I'm going to go to Twitter first. So Adam, at Clarence Bodica, said BMX Bandits.
Yeah.
Great film.
Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Never seen it.
Me neither.
I didn't even know it existed.
Oh my God.
I've gotten torn into Mark. And Time Bandits.
Time Bandits. Great film, cool.
Yeah.
Midoriya Shonen, at Rudius Heck, said George of the Jungle.
Oh dear.
Terrible.
The Never Ending Story.
Great film. That nearly made my list.
It was my fourth choice.
Me too.
And Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I'm literally going to say it how it's spelled on my bit of paper here. Christopher at Murphy's Boredom.
Nice.
Said The Goonies, The Explorers, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That's an absolute... And that has got a bit of animation.
And it's pretty adult as well. Yeah. But we'll allow it because it's a great movie.
And his name's Christopher.
Exactly that.
30-something podcast at 30 Podcast said The Sandlot... E.T.
Yes.
Again, I'm amazed this wasn't in your list, Mark.
Fifth. Bloody and I don't want to talk about a film that made me shit myself again, so more listeners find out about it, which I've just fucking revealed.
Brilliant. Well done.
Brilliant.
We didn't even sort of give him a nod there, did we?
No, but he mentions it every episode.
Yeah. Ooh, I shit myself. Yada, yada, yada.
That's shit. Andrex.
We don't want that coming through the post.
That's Andrex for all your bum wiping needs.
And 30-something podcast also said Little Monsters.
Good film.
Popcornography at popcorn_media said Mary Poppins, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim Chiru. Literally, they put it in there. Muppet Christmas Carol, wouldn't be Christmas without it. And Homeward Bound, Cats Rule and Dogs Drool.
That was a good film, but they made sequel after sequel after sequel. And no one needs to see all those animals just being animals.
Mm-mm. Craig E at Night Batman said The Monster Squad, Labyrinth.
That's an absolute masterpiece.
Great movie. Don't know about masterpiece.
David Bowie in that is unbelievable.
Yeah, everything of David Bowie in that film is unbelievable. And The Karate Kid. I want you to watch this at IWYTWT said The Indian in the Cupboard.
Never seen that.
Oh, there was like a TV series and then it was made into a film.
Mm, wow.
I think Steve Coogan's in that.
Yeah, yeah.
In a very small role.
He's literally smaller than
that. Oh, I didn't know that. Pun absolutely not intended.
I'll take
it.
It's
so good.
They also said Babe and Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And
With Angela Lansbury. That's a good movie. I used to watch that with my nan when I was a kid.
But again, it's got animation in it.
Mm.
That'll do, pig. Babe's good.
Matt Lewinsky at WEHitman_elite said The Mighty Ducks 2, Willy Winks. Oh dear, someone's put protective text here, Matt.
Willy Winks.
Willy Winks and a Chocolate Factory. And Masters of the Universe.
Oh yeah, E-Man, awesome.
There's some awesome stuff there. Do you know what I'm kind of annoyed I'm left out?
What?
Big.
Yeah, oh fuck me. Shit. How have you left Big out?
Is that really a kids' film though? Because then you get a taste of adult life.
Mm.
It's a kids' film.
Oh shit, I left out Big.
Wait, we can always do part two of this topic.
Yeah. We'll bring it back.
I honestly would have had cash money on you having Goonies, Big and E.T.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Yeah. And Ghostbusters.
Shit. So many good ones.
So many. And then we just got a few from Facebook. So we got Alan Walden, the guy responsible for the amazing picture on the last episode, said Hook, Jumanji and Muppets in Space.
Jumanji, have you seen the remake trailer?
Yeah. Mm.
Then we got Daniel Christie said Matilda, Jumanji and Casper.
Oh.
Featuring the little boy that you were in love with.
Oh, hello. And then finally, Lorna DeMarco said Muppets Christmas Carol, The Goonies and Watcher in the Woods. And this one terrified her as a child.
Aww. Never seen that.
Oh, Lorna.
I'm quite intrigued now. No. No.
I'm not going to watch it.
We're good, thanks. We're good.
Whose is the next topic?
It's mine.
It's going to struggle to beat this one. We've had a lot of fun.
I know. Oh, God. The next one's going to suck now, isn't it? So, in the past, we have talked about our overrated actors and actresses. So, I'm going to flip it around. So, on the next episode, we're going to talk about our top three underrated actors and actresses.
Amazing.
We're the same, you and I. Just a couple of hot-headed fools.
Yeah, same. Hulk like fire, Thor like water.
We've been to our local View cinema to see Thor Ragnarok. This time around, the Asgardian god finds himself stranded on a distant planet ruled by the bizarre Grand Master. Thor rounds up a team including his old comrade the Hulk, his nefarious brother Loki, and the fierce newcomer Valkyrie in an attempt to escape the Grand Master's clutches and return to Asgard to free it from the goddess of death Hela. The film stars the returning Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston and Mark Ruffalo, as well as new additions Tessa Thompson, Jeff Goldblum and Cate Blanchett. Now, of course, as is always the case, there will be a lot of spoilers in our review. We'll be talking about major plot points and the end of the film. So if you haven't seen it yet, please do skip to the end of this particular segment and come back to us once you've seen it. Now, before we get into the review, I want to take you behind the scenes of the Skip to the End podcast. Because we're so good and so professional, I'm sure everyone out there in listenerland assumes that we do everything in one take. That is not always the case. Because of our conflicting schedules, sometimes we have to record different parts of the episode on different days. In this particular example, we've recorded everything except the review a week ago. That was before Gemma went off on her jollies to Las Vegas. This final section, however, the review, the plan was when Gemma landed back in England, she was going to go and see the film and then join us to review it. Sadly, because of some aeroplane fuckery, through no fault of Gemma's at all, she hasn't been able to get back to England in time to see the film or record. So Mark and I are flying solo, no pun intended.
She's definitely flying solo right now to the job centre.
Oh,
I want to. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, you know, she is literally flying at the minute. Yes. She is, as we speak, she is above the Atlantic midair.
I'm not going to feel too sorry for her because I think she'll have had, you know, like some beers on the plane and she's sitting there watching series two of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So I think she's done all right there.
Yeah.
I think the show should go on.
Yep,
and the
always.
Fans out there deserve the best. I wouldn't want to delay us. We're not like that. We've done 3 years of always getting the episode out. It's called Skip to the End Saturday for a reason.
This is it. Hashtag Skip to the End Saturdays. We're not becoming hashtag Skip to the End Sundays,
that
are
sounds
we?
Toss.
Yeah, it's rubbish. So should we talk about the film?
Yes.
Okay, Mark, instant thoughts.
Oh, you're going to throw it to me, are
well,
you?
Well, yeah. I'm kind of out of options.
This was a film that I didn't know what to expect from, okay? So we've seen the trailer and we had the best trailer around for a long time. Marvel got us by the balls with that trailer. I remember me and you saying, this is going to be the film of the year. You are the biggest Thor fan I know.
Yep.
Most people diss him and say he's the least interesting character. They don't love the films.
Who are these people? I want names and addresses.
We'll find them on Twitter and we'll kill them. But there are genuinely people out there that always say it's the weakest of the bunch. They love Captain America.
Yeah.
Because they love Hulk. They love Iron Man. Mm-hmm. But there's just no real demand. It's always the one that doesn't do the best at the box office.
Yeah.
So we went in there with, wow, the trailers wowed us more than ever. But for me, the film was better than the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
It's, for me right now, the best Thor film from the three of them. It's one of the best Marvel films and the most enjoyable, fun experience I've had in the cinema, probably this year.
High praise.
Very high praise.
High praise indeed, and I agree wholeheartedly. It's the funniest and most fun Marvel film since the first Guardians.
I'd agree, yeah, totally.
It's such a weird hybrid of a film. It's a campy space opera in the kind of Flash Gordon mould, but it also has a comic adventure vibe of Big Trouble in Little China. It reminded me of like a melange of those two things, and I just dug it. I loved every single part of it. It was hilarious. It grabbed you. It pulled you in, and I want to see it again.
God, we're going to just sound like each other just saying exactly the same thing. We probably needed Gemma to say, I don't like it, so we could have a bit of friction.
Yeah.
But I'm exactly on the same page. Everything about this film was great. I can't actually, and I was driving here tonight thinking about what I want to say, and there's nothing that I can really pull apart about this film. I can't fault it.
Yeah.
It gave us the characters again that we love. We missed out on Hulk on the last Avengers film. He wasn't in there. And it was such a nice reminder of why this character of Bruce Banner is so important to the Avengers. It reminded me again of why Mark Ruffalo is such a high-rated actor. I think I told you the other day, James Gunn reckons he's the best actor on the planet.
Yeah.
Many people wouldn't disagree after seeing this film. He's so, so infectious as a character and so good as an actor.
Yeah, and I really like the fact they gave him a chance to shine as both Banner and the Hulk. In previous iterations of the Hulk in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he's barely spoken. He said one or two words here or there. This time, Hulk couldn't stop speaking. He's having full conversations with Thor. But then when he transformed down into Banner, we got to see a lot more of him. He's always been a bit part player in the film as the actual Bruce Banner side of him. So he was effectively the co-lead for large parts of this film. And it was great to see Ruffalo do his thing as this kind of nebbishy, little nerdy scientist guy. He's the complete opposite of what you'd expect a superhero to be. Brilliantly played.
Do you think a bit of you had probably seen that they'd been watching Guardians and watched Batista? Because he was very much like that sort of humorous side as the Hulk now. The jokes, the puns, the way he was being. I felt that they had gone for that comedic part to just remind you why you love Guardians so much and that silly side of the action heroes.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think they've certainly taken a page out of Guardians' book in terms of the portrayal of Hulk being more like Drax and just the film in general. Guardians was the first time when the Marvel Universe went off into space and did more kind of weird and wacky things outside of the Earthbound realm, and they followed suit in Thor. It's a very similar kind of film in terms of humour, and why not? If it's a successful formula, why not try it again?
I know we're obviously going to go through all the characters, but what did you actually think that they actually cast Tommy Wiseau in this film? For me, I just couldn't believe that he's gone from The Room to Best Friends to now a multi-million pound blockbuster.
Playing Loki. Tom Hiddleston's hair definitely had a Tommy Wiseau vibe about it, didn't it?
Oh, hi, Thor. But it worked, and I'll tell you what now. I don't, and this is a huge thing, stupid to say at times, Loki for me, and you absolutely love him as a villain, you said he's one of the greatest of all time, he never did enough for me. I was never that blown away on screen. It was such a reminder that Tom Hiddleston is one of the greatest actors out there.
Yeah.
He was born to play Loki. Now when I see Tom Hiddleston, I always go to, you're Loki.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he was kind of given a bit of short shrift in this film. Every scene he was in, he was great. But there were so many characters to service, including newer characters, that he kind of fell by the wayside a little bit, I think. And then I don't think they showed his motivations well enough, because one minute he's turning his back on Thor and trying to dob him in, and the next minute he's helping him save Asgard. There wasn't enough of a transition from good to bad there. I don't know, I think the writers let him down a little bit, but he's so great that he sold it anyway. He will always be Loki, and he has a lifetime pass for that time he turned up at San Diego Comic-Con in full Loki costume, in character, and appeared on the stage, you know, in all H. That's just genius.
So you then mentioned about the new characters getting a lot of screen time. One I really want to talk about is the Grandmaster, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
I've not seen him on screen for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I always associate him with Jurassic Park. I have to. He's the man that was made to be that part.
Yeah.
What a random character. For me, I don't think he actually did any acting. He just came on set as himself and had fun and got in this sort of drag and this makeup and this stupid outfit and just went with it.
Goldblum, gonna Goldblum. That's all he does, man. He's always himself. But you know what? I love him. He's so cool and offbeat and weird. There are very few people who have an energy entirely of their own. People like Christopher Walken, there's no one like him. And there's no one like Jeff Goldblum. And he fit in seamlessly into this world. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how big the part was going to be of the Grandmaster. But he's actually quite focal in the first half of the film. And the more the better. More Goldblum in everything for me.
There's so many characters to talk about. We could do an hour special just talking like, Carl Urban was back.
Yeah, I really liked him as Scourge, doing like a really weird Cockney accent.
But again, I now want Dredd. This has just made me plant the seed of, this guy was Dredd, he did it well, why are we not seeing more of him on screen? Mm-hmm. It winds me up.
I agree. I think he's a great actor. Speaking of the new characters, we need to move on to the women. The two best additions to the film for me were Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie and Cate Blanchett as Hela. Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie was just so kick-ass. I love how she's introduced, not just as a warrior, but as a pisshead as well. She's pissed off her brain and falls off the side of her ship. And she's so badass. And there are so many cool visuals in this film. And I think my favourite one is when she's in her full white Valkyrie costume and she's walking away from that ship just as all the fireworks are going off behind her and she's just swaggering down the Rainbow Bridge like a runway model. but a badass one. Loved everything she did.
And until now, I think every kid that has gone to see this film has always wanted to be Black Widow. They see Scarlett Johansson, and now they've got another alternative to go to. I want girls that are watching this film to want to be that superhero because she's kick-ass, she has fun, she's one of the lads, she's mixing in. Well, you know, her brothers are there, and she's having a great time with them.
Yeah.
But she's genuinely looking like she's having the time of her life, and I really do fancy her.
Oh, she's gorgeous,
I think she's absolutely stunning.
She's a beautiful woman. Another beautiful woman and fantastic actress is Cate Blanchett as Hela. She was so cool. She was hammy as hell. She was, you know, turned the ham up to 11. But it worked, because when you're the villain, especially in a Marvel comic book movie, you might as well ham it up big time, and she did. She was so cool.
Nothing but respect. And one of the best villains I've seen on screen.
Yeah.
We sometimes say, and I think we've said it many times when we've done many Marvel films, I do think their weakness is sometimes the villain. I think that's where they cut themselves just slightly short. DC seem to do well with their villains, apart from the last Batman versus Superman. But I do genuinely believe Marvel never quite give you that complete baddie that you sincerely believe in. Remember when we watched Ant-Man and we were like, we just don't believe in the villain.
Yeah, Darren Cross wasn't a great villain.
Never going to happen in a million years. Cate Blanchett, for me, was menacing. I genuinely felt she was a threat.
Yeah.
She looked so powerful. And the way that her hair moved and then moulded, that was a kind hood of, I'm now turning to this bad bitch and I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love that, talking of the cool visuals, when she sweeps her hair into that kind of antler helmet.
Yeah.
And then she just starts kicking ass and taking names. Yeah, she was absolutely brilliant. A couple of things I wanted to bring up about Hela, though. I don't know if you noticed this, but it felt to me like all of her lines had been overdubbed. It never seemed to actually be coming out of her mouth. And I'm wildly speculating here, but I remember when I saw the first trailer that she was in, and I turned to Gemma, we were at the cinema watching something, and I turned to Gemma and said, oh, it sounds like Cate Blanchett is doing this role in her native Australian accent. In the film, she isn't. She's doing a British accent. So I don't know if maybe she did do it in her Aussie accent and then they've decided it doesn't quite work and she's overdubbed it in English, but it looked overdubbed. The sync was just ever so slightly off with her, or the volume at times was ever so slightly off. It didn't seem natural. You probably didn't notice it at all, did you?
No, my attention to detail is nowhere like yours. I was probably just enjoying the film going, look at all these colours and how nice it looks.
shiny things.
If that did happen, then fair play, because I didn't notice it.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention is in regards to the trailer that we talked about initially. It was an amazing trailer, but because I watched that trailer about 7,000 times, I noticed that there were things in the film that were different to how they were in the trailer, leading me to believe that there had been reshoots. So the scene where Hela first appears and gets Thor's hammer and destroys it, in the finished film, they're in a green field, or, you know, at the cliffs in Norway.
Yeah.
In the trailer, when she first appears and crushes his hammer, she's in a dingy little alleyway that looks like it's in New York or something. And in fact, you know, you'll see some of the pictures we'll put out when we tweet out this episode. I've used some pictures from the trailer and you'll see exactly what I mean. So either they decided that didn't work and then reshot it, or it was on green screen and they just put a different background behind it. But they obviously made damn near last minute changes.
That is weird, because, the third trailer, the best one with the most 80s synth soundtrack, which you've heard on this episode to start this review, that has only been out a few weeks, that trailer, so very last minute.
Yeah, and there's another thing in the trailer that's different to the film, but I understand why they did this. So there's a scene towards the end where Thor comes down and lands on the Rainbow Bridge, and his body is crackling with electricity, crackling with lightning, and both of his eyes are lit up with lightning. But of course, in the real film, that was in the trailer, in the real film, he's only got one eye at that point because he's had an eye ripped out by Hela. So I understand why in the trailer they had to put a fake eye on him, because they didn't want to give away this plot point that he loses an eye. So that made sense that was different in the trailer to the actual film.
I don't pay enough attention to anything. No. All this stuff I miss completely. But that eye ripping out scene was harsh, because I didn't know that was, you know, some people have read the comics and know what's coming, and you definitely know more about these characters than me. But when they actually went through, I think this is still a kid's film. This is, many kids will go and see Thor and now see his eyes missing.
Yeah.
And he's put that patch in at the end. It's like, oh, that really suits you. And I was like, this is harrowing, because now all we're going to see him as is a one-eyed superhero.
Yeah.
They can't just suddenly make him fine for the next Avengers film.
No, well, and again, this is weird, because I shouldn't admit to this, I don't think, but you know how there was an Avengers Infinity War trailer shown at Comic-Con this year? It was only for the attendees. If you go on certain websites online, you can find...
No, we were there.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we were there and we saw it. In that trailer, which the film takes place after the events of Thor, you see Thor quite a few times with the Guardians, and he's got both of his eyes. So unless they've used trickery, you know, CGI to make it look like he's got both of his eyes, and then when we see the film he hasn't, or whether that's you know, he gets his eye back. I don't know. We'll find out when we see Infinity War. We're getting ahead of ourselves at this point, though.
Massively. What's the character? So we need to talk a little bit more about what's going on. But when Thor is first taken hostage and he goes into this sort of prison cell, there's this sort of Kiwi, New Zealand rock character who, for some reason, made me lol in the cinema quite a few times. He was like a release. He was this silly little character that had these really short lines of just like, hey there, mate. And it was just like so random.
Yeah.
What a weird character he was.
Yeah, so that's Korg. And he was voiced by the director, Taika Waititi. And I must admit that I didn't love him. I liked him. I think he had some good lines. But I've read a lot of reviews for this film, which are uniformly positive. But pretty much all of them single him out as the best thing, the character of Korg. And I was like, yeah, he's okay. But he's a bit kind of cynical. You know, here's a funny CGI character who says silly things. Everyone love him and then buy the toy.
So is your kind of CP3O character?
CP3O?
CP3O. He was your Star Wars release, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Which even without Gemma, I still codge up. I can't even get the names for Star Wars. I can't. I'm not talking, it's too late. Carry on.
Yeah, so he was funny. I'm not going to say I didn't like him. I just didn't love him as much as the reviews seem to think.
Okay, so you're not going to be buying the action figure.
No, but if Funko want to send me the pop, I will happily take it.
Amazing. But the story itself, I thought, was great. It was a 2-hour film. It didn't feel 2 hours at all. The battle where we first get this proper CGI and we see Hulk come out for the first time. He has no recognition of any of these characters. He's just a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. Some of the finest battle and sort of action I've seen from Marvel since probably the first Avengers. Absolutely stunning.
And it's a real credit to Waititi. His direction is so crisp. I've talked about this Christ knows how many times on the podcast, but some directors just can't direct fight scenes. They don't have an understanding of the kineticism of it, and they misplace the camera, and you don't understand the physics of who goes where when. He didn't have any of that. The shots were framed brilliantly. You understood exactly where the participants were. And it's all the more impressive because that's not his background. His background is independent, cheap comedy films, not big budget actioners, you know. So for him to have pulled that off so well, I thought was really impressive. That fight scene in the kind of gladiatorial stadium between Hulk and Thor was brilliantly done. And it was the first time we see Thor get covered in the crackling lightning, which I thought, again, was a brilliant visual.
You really made me think of like Josh Whedon, who in the second Avengers film shit the bed. That whole opening scene in the woods
The CGI,
was terrible.
Ugh, yeah.
So to see that, what's the point in Waititi? What's his name?
Waititi?
What's his name?
Taika Waititi.
Him. The T-Dog. I'm going to use him as the T-Dog. T-Dog. No way am I going to get this right at any point of the day. The T-Dog, I think, absolutely nailed it then. So credit to him. And let's hope now that we see him used a lot more. Where Edgar Wright took the step up to Baby Driver, now let's see them continued in doing huge projects, huge budgets, because they handle the pressure and they can definitely handle the kind of the responsibility that comes with that sort of budget.
With great
power, he could have shit the bed.
Great responsibility, as we know. He could have shit the bed and he didn't. You know, the bed is clean. I want to talk about the music briefly. There are two fight scenes, there are many fight scenes in the film, but there are two particular ones, one right at the start and one at the end, bookending the film, both of which are scored by Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song. And that riff and that, it just works perfectly, doesn't it?
Massively, especially the ending one for me, because that was just a dun 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 riff. I was just instantly when I hear that song anyway, I'm getting my blood pumping. I love that song. I love the riff. I think Jimmy Page, Plant are just geniuses. Mm-hmm. To put it on a film and that actually works and not some shite where DC do use silly over-the-top soundtracks just to overpower. Marvel, that's the one thing they do. They control the music and they use it right. And you don't get a better... Probably Black Sabbath Paranoid riff is probably more of an iconic riff. But this riff for this scene, just perfection.
Yeah, and it was in the trailer. And often you'll get a film trailer that has something in it that then isn't in the film. And it's disappointing. So I was glad that this was actually in it. Speaking of things that are in the trailer, one issue I do have with the trailer, as great as it was, is that it gave away a lot of the best laugh lines. A lot of good comedy lines in the trailer that when you're watching the film, you see the setup and you're like, oh, I already know the punchline because I've seen the trailer. And that was a shame because there are some really good gags.
Oh, especially the interaction between Thor and Hulk. Yeah. You know, when they're first sitting down, it's like, Hulk like fire, for like more small fire. And that was such a great scene.
Yeah.
And because we've seen it already, no one was laughing. The very first time I saw that, I was literally hilarious. And it just gets more and more funny. I've seen people on our social media when we announced we're doing this film, people are literally tweeting that exact quote, yeah. Hulk-like fire. Why give it us in a trailer? It's such a good little interaction between the two of them.
And the one that gets me the most is the line when he's in the arena and Hulk first comes out and he goes, yes, I know him, he's my friend from work. That's a great line. And if you hadn't seen that in the trailer, imagine the laughs in the cinema that would have got. And I understand you want to put good shit in the trailer to sell people on it. And that trailer was so good that it sold people. This is doing gangbusters. It's not out in America yet at the time of recording, but at the British box office, it's been out for 4 days now and it's made shitloads of money because, you know, on the basis of the trailer, as you rightly said at the start of the thing, Thor's not one of the more popular characters in the MCU. His films don't do as much money as your Iron Man films and your Spider-Man films or whatever, but this one is, on the basis of the fact that that trailer was so badass. So you kind of, where's the middle ground? You don't want to give away too much, but you don't want to undersell the film. So what do you do?
97% on Rotten Tomatoes as we speak.
Yeah.
That is insane. You don't see that when it first comes out. No. I know it's going to drop, but this is good. It's refreshing. It's good to see. And, you know, let's be honest about it, DC now need to follow up. They've got a few weeks now to get their shit together and give us Justice League.
Yeah.
I believe they won't even be touching the surface of this.
No, I've just got a feeling it's going to be forced because it was a Zack Snyder film initially, and then Joss Whedon's come in to help out. I've got a feeling there's going to be a lot of shoehorned gags and funny scenarios. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Speaking of funny gags, something that I didn't see coming and they didn't give away in the trailer, Matt Damon.
What was all that about?
Who knew Matt Damon had a cameo in this? And it was hilarious. Oh,
so bloody funny. And that's the one thing we've said on this podcast a few times. It's so nice to be surprised. Mm. Twitter ruins everything. Facebook ruins it. When someone goes and sees a film, they feel the need to ruin everything, especially with TV now. Stop ruining stuff. Let people be surprised. But to actually get to the cinema and not have this ruin for us, and such a big name.
Yeah.
It reminded me of when we saw Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
That surprise element of, oh my God, it was fucking awesome.
It was brilliant. And they did so well to keep that under wraps because, you know, as you say, everything leaks. I didn't see it coming. And I love the fact that it was kind of an Asgardian play they were putting on. It was the events of Thor the Dark World. And so you had Matt Damon playing Loki. And then the guy playing Thor was the third Hemsworth brother that's in Westworld.
Yes.
He's like the security guard guy in Westworld, isn't he? So that was funny. I didn't realise that the guy playing Odin was Sam Neill from Jurassic Park and stuff.
Well, that's probably got through Matey Boy, hasn't it, as the old contact.
Goldblum.
Yeah, I'll get you in, mate. Come with me. Sneak in.
He's in my Rolodex.
One thing I want to find, and it's not nice, but one fault I want to find with the film, and it's only a small one, it's difficult because some people be like, yeah, but he couldn't have had much more. I didn't get enough Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
And the very small bits reminded me of why he's one of the greatest actors of our complete generation, mm-hmm, one of the best British assets to any sort of acting world. I just loved him on screen. I know we only got flashbacks and it was just depressing because I just want to see more and more of him.
Yeah, and then he kind of died real quickly and then just appeared later on as basically Obi-Wan.
Yeah, it was Star Wars.
He was just Obi-Wan at the end, but he was
Star Wars.
I think they did give short shrift to some of the previous characters from the Thor films. So, for example, the Warriors 3, Hogan, Fandral and Volstagg, all just get murdered by Hela without any fight back. And then Lady Sif wasn't even in it. I'm getting pure nerdy here, but Lady Sif, who was this great Asgardian warrior from the first two films, isn't in it. Where was she? She should have been with Heimdall. And his, like, resistance army. Don't know.
Idris Elba, he was in it for about 10 seconds.
Exactly, he was given short shrift as well.
They all got shafted.
They did get shafted for the new characters. But you know what? When the new characters are this good, I can understand it. Do you know, I've just realised something we haven't done is talk about how great fucking Hemsworth is in this film.
Well, let's leave the best to last.
Yeah,
that's what we've done, you know, on purpose.
We did that
here.
On purpose, yeah.
My God, this guy is a gorgeous guy, right?
Yeah.
Let's be completely honest.
Yeah.
Anyone that goes to any sort of Comic-Con will see people trying to dress as Thor. He's one of the most iconic characters out there, and people find the need to cosplay as him that look nothing like him.
Yeah.
Don't bother, because this guy is unique. And now they've cut his hair, he looks even more cool. I always associate him with the long blonde locks.
Yeah.
Forget it now. He looks so fucking awesome with that short haircut. He's just a great guy.
He is. He's awesome. And, you know, we shouldn't worry about what he looks like. It shouldn't matter. But when he had his hair cut, he looked such a badass that when he lost his eye, I was like, oh, ruins him a little bit. It's a shame, isn't it?
But I love the fact that the way he had his hair cut was with these big shears and they scarred him.
Yeah.
So he had these really big gaps in his head. looks so badass.
And he's got such a mastery of his character now. I would put him up there with Robert Downey Jr. in the terms of owning his character. Downey Jr., the first minute of Iron Man, you're like, he is Tony Stark. Now, Chris Hemsworth is Thor Odinson. He just is that guy, and he's a badass, and he's a big swaggering dick of a brawler, but he's also really funny. Like, that, there's that scene when he's trying to show off to Valkyrie and he tries to throw that ball through the window and it hits the window, twats him on the head and he falls over. It's a great bit of slapstick comedy. Hemsworth is so talented across the board. He can do everything. I love the dude.
He's got absolutely everything. It's frustrating. Some people should be good and funny. That's all they should do. You know, Jim Carrey. Sometimes now and then be serious, but most of the time just be that dickhead that makes everyone laugh. This guy can do absolutely everything. I've seen serious roles with him, quite small independent films with him. He shines at everything he does. He's like Ryan Gosling. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, once his tenure comes to an end within the MCU, I'm really excited to see what he does next.
He'll shit the bed and ruin it for us.
They always do. They always do.
I think I'm all out.
Yeah, you ready to score it?
I am.
Go on then.
Like I said at the start of this, it's very hard to fault. I think I would have liked to have seen a bit more Anthony Hopkins, but that's me nitpicking.
Mm-hmm.
The film itself looked great. This director completely took it way above any expectation that you should. He's used to smaller independent films.
Yeah.
My God, it's easily a 9 out of 10.
Oh, that's a big score.
It is, but try and fault the film.
Yeah. So the thing I love about the Thor trilogy is each film is different, wildly different. The first Thor film, which I absolutely adore, as I've said many times, is like a Shakespearean tragedy. The second Thor film is just kind of your standard Marvel actioner, and it's not very good, to be quite honest. But this third one is this wild space romp. They're all so different. It's such a wild and eclectic trilogy. But this one is probably the best one, and it is arguably the best MCU movie. I fucking loved it. 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Gemma, what did you think?
It's probably an 8.
Well, that's good. Cheers, Gemma. At the minute, our current skip to the end score for this is 9 out of 10. But when Gemma comes back on the next episode, we will ask her for her brief summary of what she thought of the film. We'll get her official score as well. Before we move on, though, I just want to have a little rant, Mark.
Yeah.
I think you might know what I'm going to rant about.
Yep, I'm going to literally just sit back and let you have your moment.
So Mark and I are in the cinema watching Thor the other day, and we're sat on the back row as we do. We like to get a good view. And this group of teenagers, how many were there, Mark? 6 or 7 of them?
Easily.
Yeah, they were walking up the stairs towards us, and I turned to Mark and said, these are going to be trouble. You know when you can just tell?
You didn't just say that. You said that guy at the back with the cap, who looked like Screech off Saved by the Bell, with a cap on, you said... Especially that one at the back.
Yeah, exactly right. So they sat down, they take their seats, and they're yapping away all through the trailers, which is fine. Talk to your heart's content through the trailers. I don't give a shit. But as soon as the film starts, you shut the fuck up. That's the rule, isn't it?
Everyone knows the first rule of Cinema Club is shut up once the actual thing comes up to tell you the film with the rating and the little certificate sign. Now shut up.
Exactly. They did not. So they persisted to talk all through the film, and it was frustrating, and Mark and I just had to sit there and grin and bear it, because it was a loud, explosive film, it kind of drowned them out quite a bit, so I just kind of dealt with it all the way through the film, even though it was incredibly frustrating. When the film ended, however, but before the post-credit stingers, there were a couple of extra scenes, before they came on, these idiots started to leave. So one of them, because they were on the back row, decided to stand up and raise his arms in front of the projector, so that his arms were shown up on the screen, ruining it for everyone. I know the actual film had finished, but we knew there were going to be post-credit scenes, and at that point I snapped.
Yep. His neck.
I was close. I actually shouted, "Oi, arsehole, put your hands down, you've been a twat all the way through the film," because I was just fucking pig sick of it.
Please, when you go to the cinema, especially if you ever come to a local cinema to us and see me, Ben or Gemma, don't sit by us, because we are there to do a job. We like to have fun, we've paid our money, we want to see these films. Why be a dick? You know, don't ruin it for everyone else when you're buying a cinema ticket. If you don't want to go in and you don't want to go and watch the film, but it's an excuse to have a laugh with your mates, go to a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Go to a pool table.
Yeah, exactly. This is it.
Go to a railway line and lie on it.
Go it. Yeah.
You know, just piss off.
This is it. This is my public service announcement. Kids, if you want to be a dickhead, do it somewhere else. Like Mark said, in a bowling alley, in a park, in your house, for God's sake. Anywhere, just not the cinema. And parents, raise your kids better so that they're not dickheads in the first place. How about that?
So, Thor Ragnarok.
Gets a tentative skip to the end. 9 out of 10. We'll be right back.
It's competition time. Nice brief, and short. Brief, that's how it's got to be. Yeah. Sometimes the listeners don't get what they want. So you don't get the long extended version. You get the standard cinema release. There you go. And as you heard from that, it's competition time. So it's time to announce the winners of the competitions we ran on the last episode. And a little spoiler for you, we've got 5 prizes on this episode to give away. No 2 or 3, 5. But let's get on and announce the winners from the last episode. So the Snowman film, which is getting absolutely bombed.
The reviews say it's absolutely awful.
Which is a shame, because we're going to do a skip trip, which never happened.
But that's on ice now.
Yes, I like that. Did we go? No, we didn't. But anyway, so the bundle was...
I'm not taking part.
I refuse. All right, you be frozen out for this bit.
Oh, look at that. He's got all the gags.
You're so cold.
It's so iced to have him back in. But anyway, we were giving away a Sonos bundle. Yes, a Sonos bundle, along with the merch pack, which had a T-shirt and a pen and some notebooks. And the question we put out there was... What is the role that Michael Fassbender plays in this film?
The gloriously named Harry Hole.
It's true. And Elliot Townsend on Facebook is going to win all that, which is incredible. And I want to see pictures of the Sonos. And I don't want to see pictures of pens and a notebook and a T-shirt, but I want to see just how happy you are, because that's not your standard prize. That's a big one. Also, our good friends at Dark Bunny had a glow-in-the-dark T-shirt for the new Blade Runner film, the one that we really enjoyed on the last episode,
indeed,
to say
could
the least.
Say that.
Really, really simple question. Who directed 2049?
Denis Villeneuve.
That is true. And Thomas Hill on Facebook will win that. And do you know what he said on his comment? I've never won anything and I've listened since the start.
Oh.
Good lad.
There you go. Thank you. Also, for our iTunes fans that have gone on and put on a review, basically a 5-star review saying how great we are, they're also going to win the Snowman bundle. No Sonos, but a damn good bundle anyway. And BBOP11123445, don't make it easy for me, has said, and this is so simple, the best podcast ever made.
True story.
That's all it took, damn, and you have won that, so that's great. But the best competition, I think, Ben, you pulled this out of the bag with this idea, is amazing. To draw Skip to the End.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just saying this because I love the listeners, but I've been absolutely smiling all week seeing all these new entries come through.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are just really brilliantly rendered, just excellent artwork.
And there's serial killers out there that draw us.
Yeah,
it's true. We are going to die in our sleep quite painfully.
You're not.
No.
I'm flipping out.
You two were killed by me.
There's 2 drawings of me with a decapitated head.
Yeah, it's weird,
there you go. And you were smiling.
I know, weirdly enough.
I think it's unfair just to give this to one person.
Yeah.
As much as it should only go to one, we're going to do a top 3.
Nice.
Okay, so we've all sat around before we recorded today and really enjoyed looking through these, and we've decided on our top 3. So thirdly, we had Things I've Found, which is the stick man of us, basically, as the human centipede.
Now, I like that, but I was disturbed that I was the middle portion, because that's the worst one.
Yeah.
So I take that as a personal insult, frankly.
Not only that, Mark was at the front. Mark can barely speak at times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so I'm speaking for the 3 of us. Brilliant. So you're going to win a prize for that. And do you know what I'm going to do with these surprises? We're going to surprise them. So we'll email them, get their address, and then send T-shirts.
Yeah.
We'll
nice.
Send some Funkos.
Just some
we'll
old
send,
tat.
Yeah, all the stuff we can't get rid of. Number 2, and this one blew me away, is by Hardcore Gamer.
I love this one.
That is some serious talent here.
It made us look like the, you know, pick your player type things on a computer game.
Amazing.
Like headshots of us.
Could easily be a logo for us in the future. That good. Loved it.
Yeah.
So you're going to get all those prizes and a little bit more.
Yeah. If guys, while we're mentioning these, if you haven't seen them, please do go to our Twitter at STTE Podcast or search for Skip to the End Podcast on Instagram and you'll see all of them. They're fantastic.
They are so, so good. And I've seen so many comments from people just really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one winner. There can be only one. Katie Tara Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
Damn right.
Who, I'm not going to go ape about this. I actually emailed her and said, why did you make me look like I was on Planet of the Apes? And she said, I'm sorry, I drew you last. So that's why.
It is a brilliant, really well-rendered drawing of the 3 of us. It's pretty much the most serious one we got.
Yeah.
But Mark does look like an angry chimpanzee in it. It's brilliant.
At some point, I'm going to do a photo of me and that picture side by side, because I've been doing, since I've been here, I've been doing a lot of chimp face with Mark.
It's amazing. It's so, so good. And even the fonts like Drive and the sketchwork in the background, everyone that saw this was saying, this person needs to win. Mm-hmm, you're going to win loads. And I've seen that you're a massive Twin Peaks fan. You will be getting some Twin Peaks prizes as well that I picked up because I know and have seen how much you've put into this. It's mind-blowing. I wouldn't do it for anyone, never mind a podcast. Mm-hmm. Even if my wife said, will you draw me? No.
Draw me like one of your French girls.
I think it's now time to do some new competitions.
Let's.
But before we do, this blew my mind this week. So I didn't realise, but the guys at Warner Brothers had watched your video you did for It.
What?
This is no lie.
Really?
One of their marketing team emailed me and said, fair play to Gemma, that is some serious dedication. So they've actually sent you some treats.
Oh my God, really?
An official It raincoat.
Oh, the proper yellow
raincoat.
The
proper one, which has actually got it on.
Oh my goodness.
An official It umbrella. When it gets wet, Pennywise appears.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Shit, man. Wow.
An official T-shirt of Pennywise, which looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is this for real?
No, I'm making it all up. And a limited edition, there's only 100 of these, Jack in the Box, which is Pennywise.
What?
Now, okay, and what do I get? Gimme. So, where's mine?
Prizes,
no?
Please.
Nothing?
Ben's ridiculous. Got something as well.
Thank fuck.
Don't you worry. Ben, the guys at Funko know that you are big fans.
Yes.
Here is a present from them, and they said they want to hear you open them live on air. Okay, these are not out in the UK until mid-November. They are shipped from America.
Oh yes. Okay. So I've got two pops here. The first one is Neander Wallace from Blade Runner. Unreal.
That's look at the amazing. Eyes.
His eyes. Yeah, that's cool. And what's the other one? What's the other
one? He has no idea.
Hold on.
Go on.
Oh, and of course. Of course, it's Rick Deckard from Blade Runner as well. They are phenomenal. Dudes over there at Funko, thank you so much. I love them.
And thank you, Warner Brothers. I'm over the moon.
That's not it. Oh, so, no. You know how like much Christmas. Everybody loved the... And I was really surprised by this, Gemma. I'll be completely honest with you. What We Do in the Shadows. When you announced it, I didn't realise how much social media would love this. But what is incredible is Last Exit to Nowhere did a range of T-shirts for this film. And I completely missed them.
Oh. Wow.
We've got one each.
Yay! Oh, my God!
So, Ben, there's yours.
Lovely, thank you.
Gemma, there's yours.
Thank you very much.
And here's mine. Look at this.
The Unholy Masquerade.
How cool is that?
It's a brilliant t-shirt. One thing though, we're gonna have to coordinate because we can't all wear them at the same time.
Yes,
that would be very
we'll do
sad.
A photo as well while we're here in the mall.
Vampire style.
It feels like Christmas.
It does.
Amazing. So thank you to all those people for sorting us out. It's about time we got some stuff.
Yeah, thanks guys. Thank you.
But on that note of seeing how much we love those t-shirts, they've been good enough to give us two t-shirts to give away, which is unbelievable. So let's make it really good for the fans out there. What score did we give it on the last episode as our rewatch?
Yeah.
That's good. That takes a bit of dedication. You can then win one of these t-shirts. And we'll put the picture of us up in the t-shirt so you can see just how cool and how much of an ape I look like. So there we go.
Mark face.
Massively. Also, our good friends at Warner Brothers have come back. And I didn't see this film, but everyone is going crazy for it. The Lego Ninjago movie, which I didn't realise.
Yeah.
This is a hell of a bundle. You're going to get the activity set, an eye mask, some character masks, a black cap, a colouring sheet, two backpacks, two caps, two gift bags, listen to this, two notebooks, two T-shirts, two phone cases, four T-shirts that are official Lego ones, another backpack, a kid's T-shirt, a towel and a sticker sheet. All of that stuff, which is
unbelievable.
I feel
like I'm about to be tested to see what I remember what you just said.
Why don't we make it a bit more interactive again?
Okay.
Show us some of your Lego. Just show us some Lego.
Build something cool with your Lego and show it to us.
Or it doesn't have to be us. That's too much hard work.
Yeah. Someone's done that for us before.
They did.
They did. And they won some headphones.
They did indeed.
That was Riley. Oh. Yes, not the rapper. But is it
no,
a rapper?
No, it's Wiley.
Our amazing friends at Funko have completely outdone it this week. They've given us a full set of the Thor, say the word, Ragnarok. I can't say it.
Ragnarok.
Pops. So you get Thor, you get Hulk, you get Loki, you get the exclusive Toys R Us Bruce Banner, you get the Hulk Walmart exclusive, and you get a Daubs of Hulk, which is limited edition to 5,000. Who directed the new Thor film? But that's not it. We're going to give a full set away as well to someone that leaves us an iTunes rating. Our real fans are looked after. And I listened to their podcast this week. They got Ming from the comic book shop that Kevin Smith works in, who's on Comic Book Man. Mm-hmm. That is an unbelievable episode. Have a listen to the Funko podcast. It's incredible. I said there's more prizes. It's getting insane.
Good Lord.
Our good friends at Richer Sounds have given us a UBL Flip 4 speaker, Bluetooth speaker, which is worth £100. Nice. And it's waterproof, so you could listen to us in the bath.
Imagine.
Ah. Unbelievable. And they've said, you know, go on their website, check out their sales, check out their VIP club, go and follow them on Twitter, because they've given us some really good prizes. What should we do, guys? What should we do for win that?
Take a picture of yourself in the bath? No, don't do that. Don't do that.
People will do. That's the scary thing. How about you just tell us why you love Skip to the End? That's simple as that. I love stuff like that. Yeah. It's just, or how you just, whatever you want to do, why you love this podcast and why you should win that prize.
Seems fair.
That's
we're
really
so
good.
We're so needy, aren't we? Such needy, needy people.
Please tell us you love us, please. That's a lot to give away. Ben right now wants to play with his pops. I can see he's itching. Yeah. He just wants to play. You want to see your Jack in the Box.
I do.
We're going to announce the winners all in 2 weeks' time, so come back then. Thank you.
You want a hand job is?
Yes, sir.
So when a female strokes a male's genitalia until he ejaculates.
It's now time for Movie Masturbate, the section of the show where we pick a name out of the pot and we discuss our favourite performance from said actor or actress. And oh boy, this one was always going to pick up, wasn't it? On this episode, we're going to be masturbating over Seth Rogen.
Well done.
We're not going to get free Rogans.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, he'll endorse us.
A free Seth coming. So, I'm going to throw this over to Mark first. So, Seth Rogen, what's your favourite?
Zach and Mary Make a Porno. Oh, I'll just leave that there. Not seen it.
I have seen it.
Have you really?
I have seen it, yeah.
Do you know what I liked about it in this? He wasn't too Seth Rogen-y. Mm. And he can be very, very kind of typecast as the stoner, the big, silly, over-the-top American douchebag, which is mainly what he was doing to get himself very famous, which is fair.
Yeah, yeah.
In this, he kind of stepped out of it and we saw a bit more emotion to him. The chemistry he had with Elizabeth Banks on screen, I thought, was sensational. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. Yes, it's a silly Kevin Smith film. It's very, very, very juvenile. It's very bad taste jokes and people would be offended by it.
So what you're saying is, it's a Kevin Smith film.
Yes, that's absolutely fine. But I really like the fact that he's always wanted to cast Seth Rogen as this part. It wasn't just, oh, we'll put some auditions out. He wrote the whole film about hopefully having Seth Rogen turn up and be in this film from the moment he ever saw him. I think on 40-Year-Old Virgin, he fell in love with him. Mm. And he was like, I want him in the film. He wrote a whole film and did it all around him, hoping he would say yes. Seth read the script, turned up, and you could just see that, you know, that him and Kevin would have been smoking on set having the best time of his life. And it just made Kevin Smith's dreams come true. He got the actor he wanted. And I think the silliness that he does on the screen is ridiculous. Him and Jason Mewes and stuff, forget about all that crap. It is ridiculous. It's the stuff he does with Elizabeth Banks that really speaks out to me. And he's very, very sensible in this part. He falls in love with her. You see these emotions. And for that moment, I actually thought it was like a John Hughes film. That serious. Ben's looking at me like I'm mental. Mm-hmm. It's called Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Mark, you can't sell this. But I really enjoyed his performance in this film because it was a bit different to the usual stuff we'd had up to that point.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, then we've had very serious roles. At that point, I saw, yes, this guy's got a bit of versatility.
You were so close. Try again.
Bless.
He was... Come on. No, I'm not going
to... Versatility.
Thank you, Ben.
Good Lord.
English lessons live on air with Mark. Fuck you, Ben. Come on then, Ben, what have you got?
I've got Ronnie Barnhart in Observe and Report.
Oh, amazing.
Great choice.
So we did Observe and Report as a rewatch probably a couple of years ago now, something like that. And it's a film that I love and I evangelise about and I try and get people to watch it because it's nothing like anything he's ever done. The film was written and directed by the great Jodie Hill, who we know from Eastbound and Down, and we also know him from The Foot Fist Way, which we're going to be discussing shortly. The film was written with Danny McBride in mind. When you watch this film, the way Rogan plays it, you're thinking that's a Danny McBride character, clearly. But it's because the studio said to Jodie Hill, McBride isn't as big a name as Rogan, so we want him instead. But it worked, because Seth Rogen is so good in this. It's a funny film, but it's a dark, dark film. I've never seen Rogan play this dark before or since, and he's so good. And he's a badass as well, and a believable badass. There's a bit where a cop who doesn't like him takes him out on a ride along, and he says that, you know, you can go and be a deputy on this street corner, go on. And then he gets attacked by these street thugs, these crackheads, and he beats the ever-living piss out of them. And it's a punch-the-air moment, you know, this badass kicking all these guys' asses. And it's Seth fucking Rogen. It's the fat stoner from Superbad, you know. But he's so damn good and so damn believable. The shame of this film is that so few people saw it because it came out within a couple of months of Paul Blart Mall Cop. And because this film is also about a mall cop...
I know. Fucking film.
I know. And because this film was also about a mall cop, the assumption was that they were in any way similar. They're not. Paul Blart is just a piece of shit comedy star and a piece of shit comedian.
Documentary.
Sorry, yeah, it's a documentary about his rise to the presidency, as we've established. But Seth Rogen is so good, and this film is so dark. And it's one of those that if you haven't seen it, please go and seek it out. I know a lot of people reflexively don't like Seth Rogen. The reasons why you don't like him won't matter if you see him in this role, because he's not that layabout guy in his silly laugh, smoking weed and his big hair. He's so good, so talented. This was when I realised that he was a legit actor.
Mm. What can you say after all that?
Oh no, well, I'm going to say I quite like the silly hair, big laugh and smoking weed guy. So my choice is Ben Stone from Knocked Up.
He is great in that. And that's a great movie.
And it's good because he's very ambiguous in this film. There's times where you do actually think, yeah, you can do it. And there's other times you just think, shut the fuck up. But he plays the aptly named Ben Stone, who pretty much loves nothing more than pissing around with his mates, getting high, and time-checking scenes in movies for female nudity on his non-starter website. And of course, he hooks up with Katherine Heigl's character and ends up getting her knocked up. Like the title suggests.
Wow, I see what they did now.
Yeah, did you get it now? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Basically, he didn't rub her up. So, ergo, baby. But I love him because I genuinely don't know if I like him or not in this. Kind of like Gene Wilder from the family kids movies topic we did earlier.
Oh, yeah.
He's a character that is kind of a bit like an everyman who happens to just smoke a lot of weed. You know, he plays them with this kind of strange likability about him. So when you do see Katherine Heigl pretty much giving him shit, you do start going on his side and go, oh, come on, you know, he's trying his best, you know, give him a bit of a chance. But then he completely fucks it up when an earthquake happens, and rather than sees if she's all right, he goes and rescues his bong. And it's just this really, it's peak Rogen.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Seth Rogen, well, when I think of Seth Rogen, I think of Ben Stone. I do think this is his funniest performance, in my opinion. I do think that the signature laugh is what makes Rogen, Rogen. Sorry, now I've got the name right. I just want to say the name all day.
You're just going to keep saying it.
Rogen, Rogen, Rogen. But it's great. I really enjoy this film. It's a film that, typical Judd Apatow, it's a little bit too long at the end. But it's still enjoyable. I love it. I really do enjoy it.
Great movie. Yeah, I absolutely love it. Which is surprising because I despise Katherine Heigl with all my will and being.
Oh, she is a... I don't like
her. She doesn't do much now.
She's good.
People won't hire her. No, no one likes working with her. Apparently, allegedly, so I've read.
The thing is about that film, it was kind of the first time you saw him have the lead role. We'd always seen him in 40-Year-Old Virgin as a bit of a side character. Even in This Is the End, he's the side character. Yeah. Mm. It was so nice to see him actually have the full, here you go, beat him for the whole movie.
He's not the typical main character. He's always like the quirky, funny guy in the side, in the wings. He's never the main guy.
Yeah.
And I love that about this film.
I thought Ben might have had Donnie Darko.
He is good in that. He's only in like three scenes, but he is quite good in
that.
I
always forget he's in there. Yeah. I want to know what the social media said, because the range of his acting is just out there.
Sarcasm. On Twitter, we have Ross Miller, at Ross Miller. He's great in Steve Jobs, Ross says. And he is great in that,
very
actually.
Serious role.
Yeah, I think that's arguably his most kind of serious dramatic role, isn't it? And he is very, very good. Fallen Angel, at Fallen Angel 2106, has said, fanboys, any of the characters?
That's a great film, and Seth in that film basically plays a number of characters, but it's a really good film about a bunch of nerds that try and get... I think they're trying to get to George Lucas, but I think Kevin Smith's in it. It's silly. It's good fun.
Okay.
They've also said that it's a brilliant underrated movie, and they watch it every Star Wars day, which there I assume is that May the 4th, presumably?
It is.
Yeah.
Nice.
Emily Mecca on Facebook has said, is it too soon to say The Disaster Artist?
Too soon. We ain't even said it yet.
I think it's probably slightly
I'm
too
very
soon.
Very confident, though, it would be one of the best.
Ranting and Raving, at Ranting Podcast, agrees with Gemma and says, gotta be Knocked Up.
That is the worst impression I've ever heard. Is that your Rogen laugh?
I don't know. What, do you want me to commit to it?
Yeah, try again.
Terrible.
I feel like I've just cracked a rib doing that.
Bimbo Movie Bash at Bimbo Movie Bash has said, "Take this waltz. I just really feel for him." I haven't seen that.
No,
I've heard about
it. Has anyone?
Yeah,
probably just them. I've never honestly heard of that, and I'm pretty good with Seth Rogen films.
Yeah,
even if I haven't seen them, I've heard of them.
Not familiar.
I'll check it out.
Mike Hood on Facebook has said, "The Interview."
I've never seen that.
It's all right, you know. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was the one that the Korean government went mental
about. Political.
Yeah.
Did well for getting it out there, though, you know. So, you know, the whole leader of the country going crazy about it.
Yeah.
But what doesn't it go crazy about?
It's true.
Moving on. Boo Ah minus C at Weird But That's Okay has said... I think I've read that right. Has said, "Pineapple Express." Him and James Franco in that movie were fantastic. So true.
An amazing film.
Great movie. When I went to see that, I was drunk as fuck on brandy. Me and my friend snuck in brandy in like Coke bottles and we were leathered and we came out like, "That was the best film we've ever seen." And then we realized it was just because we were pissed.
Have you seen it since?
Yeah, it is a good movie.
It's
and
good.
Danny McBride's in it, and again, brilliant.
Hey-o.
Mandy Ospenko has said, "All the Seth Rogen, drool." So not one particular performance there.
Do you know, a lot of the girls I went to uni with and stuff, they all had a thing for him.
What?
They did. Honestly, everyone's like, "Oh, he's because he's not your clean cut, nice jawline. He's just the stoner dude." And everyone's like, "He's really just, you just want to be with him."
No, he's like a wet bath mat.
Poor guy.
No, but I mean, he might be for
He's
some
not a heartthrob,
people.
But I think people just like him because he's just a likeable guy.
And he seems comfortable in his own self, which is a good thing.
And I bet he's really good at skinning up.
And has loads of money.
Yeah.
Darren Lucas at New Guy Review 101 has said 50-50 because that character was close to his heart. I've still not seen that one.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, isn't
it? It's very hard. If you've ever lost anyone because of cancer, it's not an easy watch.
Wow. I do want to watch it, but I think it's put me off because of the dark subject matter.
Very, very dark, dude. He never does any... Yeah.
Matt Lewinsky at WEHitman_Elite has said, "This is the end." I hate that film.
I really like that film.
I quite like it.
It's basically give a bunch of stoners too much money.
Yeah, it's basically James Franco and Seth Rogen's home movies. Although it's a waste of time.
It sucks when they kill off Aziz Ansari at the very beginning.
Mm.
Spoilers.
Oh.
I do like Michael Cera in it, though. It's like a lecherous little prick. Yeah, he's quite good. Philip Hand on Facebook has said, "Funny People." Really good movie. And he's great.
So long, though.
Too long. Judd Apatow.
Really bad, though. That's not even like This Is 40. That was a... You could chop an hour.
Yeah,
an hour from Funny People.
This is 40 hours.
Too long.
Cruising Law number 917 at Laurie Boom Boom has said, "Like you, Mark, Zach and Mary Make a Porno."
Yes.
So at least one person in the world agrees with you.
Brilliant. I don't even think it's the best. I just want to annoy Ben. That's all I want to do today is piss off Ben.
The worst crime about that film is that it's just okay. I don't hate it, but I don't like it. It's just okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going off the performance here, not the film by any means. But it's one of his worst. You'll watch it and just be like,
yeah, that's he's fine.
Yeah,
he's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. Is it my turn to pick?
It is.
Yeah.
Yay!
Do you want
please
a drum
pick
roll?
Someone really good.
Should we get your drum roll?
Yes, please. Next time around, we will be movie mass debating over, oh, thank fuck, Leo DiCaprio!
Oh, yes!
Rewatch this time round is The Foot Fist Way, a very, very dark comedy written by Jodie Hill, Danny McBride and Ben Best and directed by Jodie Hill. It also stars Danny McBride, Ben Best and Jodie Hill. In the film, McBride plays Fred Simmons, an arrogant taekwondo instructor whose life begins to spiral out of control when he finds out that his wife is cheating on him. He's also obsessed with B-movie action star Chuck the Truck Wallace, but soon finds out that you should never meet your heroes. Kanye! Mark.
That's going to be my battle cry for everything in life.
Kanye! Mark, you... I know you're a big fan of Jodie Hill. I know you're a big fan of Danny McBride. Did this film that you hadn't seen before live up to your expectations of those guys?
I'm so hungry I could eat a grown man's ass right now. This has been the most fun I've had with never seeing a film before.
Mm.
This is meant to be a rewatch where we get together and we rewatch a film. It was the first time I'd ever seen this film. I can't believe it's taken this long for me, as such a big fan of his masterpiece of Eastbound and Down. There's no better TV out there. I'm absolutely loving Vice Principals. I think it's incredible. But this is raw. Yeah. This is cheap. This was made in 19 days. And I have not kind of sat there and had that ache of my ribs from laughing at just the simplest lines and the simple quotes for a good few years. Ben, I am obsessed with this film and I love you for it. Incredible.
I am absolutely delighted. I knew you were going to like it because I know you like their work, but I'm chuffed to hear that you like it as much as you do. Gemma, are you on the same level?
Fuck you! Of course I am. This is a hidden gem. So, like Mark, I've never seen this before. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of our listeners that haven't seen this either. Yeah. My God, we're going to have the most fun time talking about this film. It's so funny. I wasn't expecting it to be this funny. But after watching, obviously, on the last episode, I recommended Vice Principals, thanks to you two guys.
Yeah.
And I can see it kind of the full circle now with Jodie Hill and Danny McBride's partnership. It reminded me a little bit of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
You know, like
Rex Kwando.
Bow to your sensei. But it was really low budget, kind of a down to earth kind of comedy as well. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that the comedy they use is one that you don't typically find in Hollywood movies. McBride has an uncanny knack of delivering comedy in the most subtlest of ways, and it's great to see the rookie side of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, we're gonna have some fun.
And it really was the rookie side of his career. This was his first leading role. I think he'd only been in one film prior to this, in a bit part. And this is the first time we see him patent that McBride style. He is the master of playing these emotionally stunted characters who hide their true feelings underneath bluster. These characters always just lack self-awareness. They have no idea how much of a dick they really are. And this was the origin of that, really. And it's just one of my favourite performances. Everything he does, every word that comes out of his mouth, every little mannerism, every little eye roll is perfect.
A character that I want to go straight into, his friend that's working with him, the blonde guy, what's his actual name?
Mike McAllister, yeah. Yes!
This character is incredible. Yeah. And I literally think he must have just... I don't know if it's a true, Ben, you'll probably have to tell me. Did they make this for Will Ferrell? I heard that they wanted to get his attention and their friend. They sent him it as a tape or a movie audition.
Well, it's produced by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay's company, Gary Sanchez. They produced the film.
So do you think they made like a mini version on a smaller budget and then sent him to please make this film for us?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But the guy you're referring to, Mike McAllister, he's played by the director Jodie Hill.
That's...
Oh, 5%. Yeah. 5 become black belts.
That's the quote. That's just 100%.
I don't believe in belts. I am a 5th-degree black belt.
I love when he's in the car with the two little kids and he just turns to him and says, "You ever had sex?"
He should do more acting.
Yeah.
This guy should do a lot more acting. Yes, he's incredible. He writes, he directs, he films. He's incredible. In front of the camera, I've never found a character that I loved from the moment he came on the screen. Incredible.
What I love about him, you know how he's so serious and deadpan when we first meet him, and then during the Baba Slabba demo with Chuck the truck, and just him and Danny McBride go like, "Yeah, woo, alright, yeah," it's just proper like over the top.
And that leads to arguably my favourite scene in the film.
Yes.
It's when there's two dudes, Fred and Mike, and the two little kids are at the dojo. They go to Chuck the truck's party in his hotel room, and they end up getting into a fight, so one of the little kids just does this kung fu kick into one of the musicians and cleans his club.
The little hipster on the guitar.
Oh god, it's so funny, and the little kid just kicking that guy's head in.
My favourite scene of the whole film, that bit where I actually stopped and had to just pause it because I couldn't focus on the screen, is when they've got the girl there, she's standing there, and he's like, "Right, you're preparing the fight," you see him getting it all built up. Literally takes a boot to the head, drops to the floor, and says, "Can you check she's not dead?"
Yeah.
And the way he delivers that line, completely sparred out cold after building it up that she's this warrior that's going to be completely undefeatable. One, and it's a real... You can feel the pain of the punch. It is quite real. It's done very well. Drops down and just says, "Can you check she's not dead?" I don't know why it's so funny, but I just stood there like, I can't watch any more of this. I need to genuinely pause it to compose myself.
It's all about delivery. McBride is a master at delivery.
He is, truly.
He really is.
The film, obviously it's very funny and we can quote stuff and I'm sure we will continue to do so, but the way the film's made is really good because it was dirt cheap. It was an indie film, you know. Although it was produced by Will Ferrell, there wasn't a lot of money in it, clearly. I love the way that it's filmed in close-up, shaky hand, you know, shaky cam style. It feels like a documentary.
Yeah,
it feels like this is a documentary crew have come into this dojo to see what's going on in the lives of these characters. It feels real, although they're larger than life people who hopefully don't exist in the real world.
Oh God, hopefully.
It feels gritty and real. It feels like a doc.
Yeah, and his piece of shit wife, I'm sorry. She is horrible. Susie, you ho. Like, he's a decent... Well, he's kind of a decent guy.
If that's your standard of a decent guy...
No, not after the slightly rapey sort of when he's chatting with Denise. Mm. Like, trying to kiss her. That's really uncomfortable, that scene.
The way she moves and he's still, like, touching her face.
He still goes for it.
Oh, it's horrible.
That is very uncomfortable. And I think this is the third time I've mentioned about I don't know whether or not I like the main guy.
Yeah.
We've had some very questionable people on the podcast today. But he's so flawed. But it's not until halfway in the film when he realises it, when he has that kind of mini breakdown after finding out Susie's had an affair. But not just that, he catches her with his hero. His one and only.
She was riding the truck.
Yeah, fuck truck.
I have actually got a question for you both. Who would win in a fight between Bruce Lee and Chuck the...
Chuck has been a champion for 7 years and Bruce Lee's dead.
So, you know, who can say that? It's a genius. It's the best writing out there. It's the stuff that can make you spit your drink out laughing, which is amazing. You just started talking about the wife and then stopped. But she's horrible. And that's the one character that kind of wound me up.
Me too. I really did not like her. And that might be a credit to actually the actress who played her, Mary Jane Bostick. She does kind of play Susie as this real sort of... just has no regard for Fred's care and attention whatsoever. Even when they're sitting down watching TV with Fred and Chuck, and sort of Fred's right in the middle, he's just like this little kid with a big grin on his face. He's got his wife on one side and his hero on the other. And you know for a fact, they're blatantly going to, like, you know, start getting it on. They're going to be knocking boots.
Knocking boots.
Yeah, getting jiggy with it. Beast with two backs. I could go on.
Et cetera. No, just stop it. It's disgusting.
But... you know, and that's when I start feeling sorry for Fred.
But you touched on it. He's not a good guy either. Mm-hmm. So at the end, he kind of wins. At the end of the film, he has this kind of board-breaking competition with Chuck the Truck, and he wins. And he finally realises that he's in a toxic relationship, so he takes off his wedding ring and takes a piss on it, as you do. So, you know, it's kind of a victory for him all the way around. But you kind of look at it like it's not a happy ending because he's an arsehole. He was just as toxic in that relationship as she was. So he's won, but we shouldn't celebrate him for that.
And he might not even be better. It might be the start of something like sort of like catastrophe. It could be sort of unraveling, kind of like a bit of a lighthearted version of Taxi Driver.
Yeah, and that to me, that sums up kind of Jody Hill. He does comedic version of Taxi Driver. I've compared Observe and Report to Taxi Driver more than once in the past. Yeah. It feels more like that than a typical Seth Rogen comedy, for example. He's so good at tapping into the inherent darkness of people. And the best scene to display that is when he does have that mini breakdown that you mentioned. You see him talking to himself in the mirror, trying to psych himself up, telling himself he's okay. And then he comes back out into the dojo and all the kids are there and he just falls down to one knee and starts crying. And it's a brilliant piece of dramatic acting in the midst of this crazy humour. Mm-hmm. It's really moving and really powerful from Danny McBride.
Do you know what? It's reminiscent for me of Ricky Gervais in The Office.
Yes.
You don't like the character. At times you love the character, and at times you can just have your heart broken because of this way of being. And Ben, you just said about it being filmed like a mockumentary style. It's like The Office. Think about the way it's filmed, the up-close shots.
Yeah, the slightly shaky camera.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a big reminder of how well you can do it on such a low budget.
Yeah, it's beautifully made. Just to get back to the humour, I've just...
it's coming out of a quote.
I just thought of my favourite line. So it's when that young girl, she's come to the dojo and wants to sign up to do Taekwondo. And she's saying about how, you know, I've not done Taekwondo before, but I've done meditation. And he says, meditation's terrific and all, but I've never heard of it saving anyone in a gang rape type situation.
Oh my God!
That level of humour is the tone through the film.
Good Lord.
I don't know what to say.
It's such a dark, incredibly funny, squirmy film. It makes you squirm.
And it's only like, what? It's only about an hour and 10 minutes.
85 minutes
long.
An
hour and 20. Great.
Really easy to watch. I mean, this is one of the films that Ben said on the last episode, you have to kind of go out there and scout for it. It's not going to be on your Netflix or your Amazon.
It is. It's on Amazon Prime. It's not involved in the free Prime stuff. It's one of them you have to pay for. But it's like £3 to rent. So if you are interested in the shit we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, go onto Amazon Prime and rent it.
Definitely worth the money.
Or YouTube. That's what I did. $2.99. Got the whole film.
Yep.
So do check it out. Because I like this thing about the rewatch where people then discover new films. Yes, we can talk every day about Blade Runner, V for Vendetta, stuff like that, but it's important to kind of give you new films. Ben, this is the best thing you've given me in 3 years of
really?
Cinema.
Really? Yeah. Big words.
Because you said you knew I'd like it.
Yeah.
But it's, if I love Eastbound and Down this much and I get a film version with elements of The Office and Napoleon Dynamite,
yeah.
Throw in a fucking alien in a wheelchair and I'm done. You know what I mean? Fucking hell.
If there was one thing I was expecting to hear, that definitely wasn't it.
that's Foot Fist Way 2.
Yes, we could make that.
That's quote of the episode right there.
Did you know, you probably looked this up already, the reason why it's called the Foot Fist Way is because that's just a literal translation of the words Taekwondo.
I didn't know that.
They're Korean words that mean the way of the foot and the fist.
Ah. You learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm. Shall we score it?
Yeah.
Mark, I want to start with you.
9 out of 10.
Yeah?
It's not a 10. It has to stand the test of time. Fuck all that. No, it's a 9 out
again,
of 10.
Again with that.
Because I think that's stupid. It's unfair.
Welcome to your opinion.
Yes, of course. It's amazing. Amazing. I was about to say a masterpiece. It's a reminder that you can make good films on low budgets. Ben, I know you don't like Clerks, but it's on that same thing. You can do a debut. You can do low budget, not big stars at the time. And it's a reminder that these guys went on to big things.
Yeah.
Amazing, Ben. Thank you. 9 out of 10.
You're welcome, buddy. Gemma.
Taekwondo, watch this film.
You're an idiot.
She's a moron.
It's a high 8 out of 10 for me.
It's a 9 for me as well. I think it's a fantastic film. The start of what would be a great career for the likes of Jodie Hill and Danny McBride. I absolutely adore it. So this gets a skip to the end. 9 out of 10. Kunye!
It's my choice. You're about to ask. God, it's tough because this has been a lot of fun. And the film I'm going to give you is fun, but it's not a comedy.
Is it Requiem for a Dream?
Schindler's List.
Not doing that. Ben, there's a film that you've never seen and I've tried and tried and tried to get you to watch it. It's going to be... You've seen Tusk, haven't you? Don't be too frightened, Ben. It's a good film.
Oh.
Okay. Don't worry. Gemma, you've seen it.
Okay.
It's one of my favourite films ever made. So I'm going to be a bit selfish and just pick something because I love it that much. But I want Ben to love it as well.
Okay.
It's a breaking point to our friendship if he doesn't love it.
Oh my God.
Oh dear.
I want a reminder that Jason Lee is one of the best actors out there. I want a good soundtrack. I want a film about music, about bands, about Black Sabbath, about touring. I want Cameron Crowe in this podcast. It's time for Almost Famous.
Wow!
Excellent
brilliant.
Choice. Look forward to it.
Kakanori. It's time for a brand new game show. Welcome to Kakanori.
The name itself is the greatest thing in podcast history.
And it starts now. This is a game which is going to be explaining the story of a movie, but in a bad fashion. So we're going to be mixing it up with a not quite literal telling of the story of a film.
Right. So what I do on every episode when I'm trying to talk about
much.
The rewatch.
Mine's going to be great at this.
Yeah, I've won.
I've just made it into a game.
Kakanori.
It's a great name. It's a great way to start off. But I should really tell the rules, shouldn't I? But this is no ordinary game. And these are no ordinary rules. I'm going to be the games master for the first round. Mark, you're going to be playing and Ben will be... the judge.
What? This is different.
My name is Judge.
So I'm the only player.
Yeah.
No pressure.
So basically what's going to happen is I'm going to be reading Mark a list of 10 badly written stories to a film.
Okay.
Now, Mark, if you're going to get this story right, you're going to win yourself a point.
Brilliant.
Isn't that lovely? Now, here's the kick in the face.
Oh, fucking hell. What have I done now?
So, Mark, if you get this wrong... it's going to go to the judge, which would be Ben.
Yeah.
However, to add an extra spicy layer to this game, if the judge says the story was too hard, then the game's master, I could lose a point.
Jesus Christ.
So basically, I could walk away from this round with negative points.
That is harsh.
It's tricky, this. So essentially, you want to find a middle ground as the game's master. You want to give him one that's hard enough that he gets it wrong, but not so hard that I, as the judge, say, no, it's too hard, he never got it, you lose a point.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
Ben, don't screw me over, dude. Be fair.
I'm impartial. I have impartial, always been impartial. I don't play favourites. Gemma's my favourite.
I'm taking the pot back.
Each of us basically can walk away with a score. The shock. Oh my God.
I'm terrified now. I thought this was going to be fun.
Yeah.
No pressure. Yeah. Brilliant. Bring it on.
Let's get into it.
Should we just do this?
Yeah. So Judge Ben is going to basically... fuck me live on air.
Mate, don't assume anything.
Okay, let's hear the first one. I'm excited.
Okay, are you ready? So, story number one. Funfair Machine awards young lad instant puberty.
Piece of piss. Big.
Nope, that's not it. Yep.
Nice, easy one.
Yeah, we should have put a rule in that I can deduct points from Gemma for them being too easy, because that was a joke.
That's a nice one just to set the tone.
Right. So that's 1 point for Mark.
That's one Brilliant. Point. So, story number two. Teen loses virginity to a baked dessert. Oh, look at his little face.
It's a big face if you look at the drawing that came in.
Chimp
American
face.
Pie.
He's got it.
That was a bit harder.
Yeah, 2 points for Mark.
So, are you ready for story number three?
This is all easy, yeah. Bring them all on.
The most romantic episode of Stockholm Syndrome ever told.
Ooh.
Shit.
There's that face. He's gone.
There's his chimp face.
Yeah.
Pass.
Oh. Gemma, what's the answer?
The answer is Beauty and the Beast.
Bastard.
That's too tough. Minus one for Gemma.
What?
That's
yes!
How's anyone going to get that? Too vague.
Well, easy.
Minus one for Gemma.
That was tough.
She got captive and she falls in love with a kidnapper.
No, I'm not having it.
Thank you, Ben.
Fucking hell, it's a screw job in itself.
Remember, we all get to swap roles, so the screw job can happen.
Yeah, especially when you're on negative.
That was
points.
Hard.
What?
It was too hard.
It wasn't.
Yeah,
you've gone
that.
From easy to pure... Anyway, carry on.
What's that thing from the fist way?
Gunye!
Gunye! Number four, come on.
Right, number four. Little fellas hiking for hours just to get rid of a bit of jewellery.
So easy, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he's got it.
Nice.
That's a third point for Mark.
She's not doing herself favours here.
No.
Next story. Narcoleptic is cured by a non-consensual kiss.
What?
Mark doesn't know what narcoleptic
is. I don't. I genuinely don't. Bastard. He knows me too well. Can I just Google what that means?
Nope.
Well.
Romeo and Juliet.
Incorrect, I'm afraid.
Tell him what it was.
Sleeping Beauty.
Oh.
And that's perfectly fair. No, yeah. No minus point for Gemma. That was a good clue.
So that's people that can't sleep?
Yes.
Basically insomniacs.
No, narcoleptic is the opposite.
No, you just fall asleep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The exact opposite.
I've learned two things from sleep to the end. Come on, number five. This is embarrassing me.
Okay, your next one. Girl lets boy die because she's too bloody selfish to share a door.
Oh, he's blanking.
To share a door.
To share a door. Girl lets boy die because she's too bloody selfish to share a door. Bitch.
I've got a pass.
Yeah?
Ben looks like he knows what it is.
I don't.
I've just got to pick something anyway, haven't I? Because
you might as well.
It's worth it.
You want to?
V for Vendetta.
I'm afraid it's incorrect. It was Titanic.
That works. I'll give her that one.
I'll give her that.
Yeah, no minus point for Gemma there. That's fair.
What's the scores?
Yeah.
Mark's on 3. Gemma's on -1.
Damn it. But fair enough.
Yeah, you've got it. You've got another week to earn some points. You're all right.
Some sweet ass points. Right, so Mark. Lonely nerd decides to get jiggy with Siri.
I think I know it.
Her?
Yeah!
Yes!
Well Point
done.
For Mark.
Well done.
Amazing. That's the best one yet.
Yeah.
Right. Are we ready for number 8? Bloody hell, we're whizzing through these now, aren't we? Right. Moody girl faces dilemma. necrophilia, or bestiality.
I know it. That's great. That's a good one.
Twilight.
Well done. Yes. Yes.
That's a brilliant one.
Yeah.
You are fucking talented.
Hi-o.
That's amazing.
I did want to say Slackjaw, but I knew instantly that's too easy.
So we've got two more?
We've got two more, yeah. So we're on the penultimate story.
Yep.
So you ready? Creepy confectionery weirdo promotes childhood obesity with treasure hunt.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, bloody done.
That would have been... That's easy.
See, that's foolish, because you had that earlier on in the show. You've teed him up
I
for
know.
That.
Yeah.
That's too
so easy.
Easy. Yeah, you should lose
Dying.
A point for that, just being daft.
I could win this game. I'm doing all right.
2 weeks left to play. Didn't we mention that the scores roll on? There'll be a cumulative winner at the end of the third show.
So, I mean, all of this could be for nothing.
This is the best game of all time, just because of the scoring. I love the fact that you could be winning one
Me
week
too.
And then losing.
I'm feeling the pressure, and I'm not even the one, like, you know, winning the points.
Oh, I'm ready for the last evident. One. Come on, let's
right.
do this.
Okay, story number 10 of the first round of Kakanori. Hostage lets captors know that he's not a fan of pollen-carrying winged insects.
I know it.
The Wicker Man.
Well,
yes!
Done.
That was amazing.
Well done.
Good work there,
I really
Games Master.
That
was good fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that a lot.
So after the first round of Kakanori, Mark is on 7 points.
Wow.
A very respectable
well
7 points.
Thank you.
And Gemma is on -1.
Dang.
So of the three Mark got wrong, you only shit the bed on one of them.
Which is
pretty good.
That's fair dues.
Yeah.
So, right now, I've only got one question.
Mm-hmm.
Who's what next time? Because I'm feeling good, but it could all change.
Man.
So, next time round, Mark, you're the Games Master.
Okay, I've got some serious homework to do.
So, you're going to be trying to flummox me. I'm the player.
Lovely.
And Gemma's the judge.
Ooh.
Mr. Simmons, I really need to go practice my
form. Wow. Do you just feel that?
What?
I mean, we totally just connected right there.
Now time for some good old listener questions. So kicking things off, we have Easy Rider Raging Podcast. What is your favourite on-screen drinking establishment? I can't believe I actually said all that correctly.
Well done.
Thank you.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. It's the Mos Eisley Cantina, surely.
That's a beautiful one.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Jack Rabbit Slims in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, very good.
Get a burger, get a shake, get a dance.
Oh, that's the one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Titty Twister Bar.
Oh, yeah. If you can find better pussy, fuck it.
What a great... I've always wanted to find that bar and just have a nice beer. At @charisma_effect, this is a bit more for Ben. So DC, Marvel, or Image Comics?
I love DC and Marvel, but they just do what they do. You know exactly what Batman's up to. You know what Iron Man's up to. Image are amazing. They do their own thing, and they've got great product. They've got things like Walking Dead, Spawn, Saga, The Wicked and the Divine, Morning Glories, East of West, Chew, all these great books. Image are basically the HBO of comics.
Ooh.
And that's the highest praise I can give them, I think.
That's amazing.
Mm.
They've also asked, are you excited for DC's Doomsday Clock series, which means nothing to me?
So for you and anyone else who doesn't know, it's DC bringing in the characters from Watchmen into the mainstream DC continuity.
Nice.
And as a comic purist, I should be dead against it because Alan Moore would be furious at the whole thing, I'm sure. But I love the characters from Watchmen. I want to see Dr. Manhattan interact with The Flash and things like that. So I dig it. And it's being controlled by Geoff Johns, who's something of a comic book genius. So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic.
I'm so sorry. When you said like, which I'm dead against, it just reminded me of Alan Partridge and the pedestrianisation of Norwich.
I'm dead against it.
Mike Donahue. This is a great question. Of all the almost happened castings where most actors or actresses got the offer from the studio but then passed, which of these do you wish had happened the most?
Easy question. Nick Cage as Superman.
Yeah, great one.
We did a whole podcast on
that. I remember. Yeah. John Schnepp, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. There's one that's crazy. Did you know that O.J. Simpson was going to be Terminator?
This is not true.
Oh, my God.
That is who James Cameron wanted. Sheesh. Which surprises me, because I think he'd be better at Predator.
Oh.
Ben, who do you think?
Oh my god.
Kanye! That's my get out of prison card. Ben, to you.
I would go with Adam Sandler as the bear Jew, Donnie Donowitz in Inglourious Bastards.
Oh.
That's still mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think it was scheduling conflicts, that's why I ended up going to Eli Roth, who's very good as Donnie Donowitz, but I would have loved to have seen Sandler.
Have you seen his new film?
The Meyerowitz stories, I haven't yet, but the reviews are saying it's amazing.
They're saying it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow.
We need to get on that.
Big time.
Steve Jones, when Donald Trump finally consigns us to fiery nuclear Armageddon, which is probably not too far away, hopefully you've listened to this in time, which 4-minute video clip from a film would you love to watch? Wow, that's tough.
God.
I think the hallway fight scene in Old Boy is like 3.5, 4 minutes. I'll go with that.
I'll go for the fight scene between Chuck and Fred in the Foot Fist Way.
I would go with the end in a Fight Club, Where Is My Mind?
Oh,
brilliant.
That is incredible out, that shot, but it's about 4 minutes, and it's the Pixies, and it's just the whole explosions and everything, which is going to be happening around us.
Best song ever.
Chris Bradish has said, oh, this is a WWE-related question, which people bloody love. We've got a lot of wrestling fans.
We do.
Who should play Vince McMahon in the upcoming biopic? That's a great question.
Oh, you know what? Shall we have a second resurgence of John Travolta's career? Because I think he would get the Vinnie Mac walk down to a T.
The swagger. Yep. Yeah. There can be only one for me. It's Nicolas Cage. It has to be Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Because Vince McMahon is a big, bold, bigger-than-life character, as is Nicolas Cage.
I'm thinking, for acting ability, Gary Oldman.
Ooh.
Hmm?
But it actually looks... Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts
Think
does
about
look like
the way
Vince.
He is and his mannerisms and stuff. Yeah. I could imagine him. Just put a suit on him. He looks like him. Every time I see The Dark Knight, I think, that's him.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Think about it. Watch the announcement next week. Tom Round. Which band or musician would you love to see have a go at an entire film soundtrack? That's a great question.
It is. I've thought about this before, actually. There's a band who I absolutely adore, and Mark, you've seen them live with me a couple of times, called Baroness. They're
amazing.
Yeah, they're a brilliant band. And they started out as a kind of heavy sludge band in the Mastodon mold. And over the years, they've kind of mellowed a bit. And their music is kind of weird and psychedelic now. Great, great rock music. And their lead singer, John Dyer Basley, is also an amazing artist. He does all their album artwork. As the guys here in my living room can see, I've got several of his prints on my wall. Mm-hmm. The background wallpaper on my computer is a John Dyer Basley print. He's an artistic genius, both musically and, you know, in terms of his painting. I think he could create an amazing soundtrack. I think he could be the next Reznor.
Not a big statement there.
No,
not at all.
And we met him.
Do you know, I'd forgotten that. We've got a photo of us with him.
I forgot that. I'll tweet that out this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, this is tough. If it was someone that's no longer with us, Jeff Buckley.
Oh my God,
I think the stuff he could do would be so melodic and so perfect. But Thrice are one of the most diverse and one of the most incredible bands for dynamics you'll get. They can do heavy, full-on metal where they're screaming, and they can do melodic sort of folk music.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got the range, like Radiohead. And I think they could work so well with someone like David Fincher and just nail it. Absolutely unbelievable.
They're your favourite band of all time, aren't they?
Cemetery Pierce.
Obviously.
But yeah,
obviously.
They're one of them. It's very, very close.
I'm a huge fan of Cut Chemist, who was in the incredibly popular and legendary Jurassic 5 hip-hop group. But Cut Chemist, it would be great to do something like a little bit sort of, I don't know, like maybe using samples to score a film. I think it would be a really good, it'd be a different way of doing it, so...
Very interesting.
I love that question.
Yeah.
Oh, another kind of music-related one from Mark Haywood. What horror movie would you love to see done as a metal concept album by which band?
I'm not even metal. I'm more liquid than metal.
You're metal as fuck, Gemma.
She's not any longer. They've been chopped off.
But
Ben's not very horror, so it's
a weird
both going to struggle.
Yeah. It's an easy one for me, though. In 1996, Corey Feldman did a film called Bordello of Blood, and it's an all-time classic in the horror genre. But what they need to do is let Corey and his truth movement do the music for it. Standard.
I'm going to say Gemma's favourite film of all time, The Shining.
Yes.
Listen to this, and Ben will be like, yeah, I get you.
Okay.
Mastodon.
Yeah.
Think about how musically creative they are and how diverse, with the sound of the range of the guitar alone. Just imagine giving, what's the gingerhead guy in the band?
Brent Hines.
Yeah. Just let him have free range at writing music for a film. The
one thing I would say against that is they have done a soundtrack. They did the soundtrack for Jonah Hex. And it's not great. It's not great, but that's not their fault. It's because the film is dog shit.
Oh, I take that back.
Well, because I'm not as sort of musically minded in terms of metal I would probably go for something like Friday the 13th, but go for something like Queens of the Stone Age. But, you know, sort of, well, I don't know as much metal.
No, it's great. You can have them.
But yeah, like if you hear songs like First It Giveth and No One Knows, it kind of has sort of like that dark kind of feel to it. And I think it would work.
I agree. They have a song called Someone's in the Wolf that is really dark and broody and weird and mysterious. And that would work in a horror film. Massively.
Like Burn the Witch.
Hanging Tree.
Yes!
Most of their stuff. Oh, I want to just listen to them now.
I don't feel bad now.
WWTT Podcast. You get to pick the best Oscar nominees on everything so far that's been released in 2017. We should have that now. I think we've worked hard enough that we choose the best picture nominees.
So you're saying the ones that we want to be nominated rather than the ones we think will be nominated?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's have a couple each.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, for me then, it would be Logan and Blade Runner.
That's it for me as well. And The Disaster Artist. Just give it now. Without a shadow of a doubt, literally Blade Runner should be there. It should.
Agreed.
It won't, but it should.
And I would really like to see Logan get some kind of recognition.
Got to.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to all agree on that.
Throw in Dunkirk and Free Fire.
Oh, yes. Definitely Free Fire.
Yeah.
La La Land. Oh, no. Shame. That's done. The Boz Dog with a Z. What? Not Boss Dog.
Boz Dog.
What is your all-time favourite movie insult that doesn't involve cursing? Which we don't do much here, so that's a good one.
Degrading. There's a character called Ty from the film Clueless, played by Brittany Murphy, and she completely tears Cher down and goes, "Why should I listen to you anyway? You're a virgin who can't drive."
I like the impression. I'm going to go with Kip from Napoleon Dynamite. Your mom goes to college.
Yes!
Ridiculous. Don't even make sense. I don't get it, but it just works.
You don't even see him say it either. It's just off screen.
Ah, the thing is, Ben mentioned Ghostbusters, and I've got one from that. So, you know when Ray says, "Dickless over here, shut off the bloody power grid." And he said, the mayor then says, "Is this true?" "Yes, it is true. This man has no dick." I know that's a little bit of cursing.
I love that in the kind of redub version for the children's market, they change it to Twinkie. I'm sure they change it to something like, "Yes, this man has no Twinkie." It's something really stupid like that. Mine, there's a line in Casablanca that I absolutely love. So it's when Peter Lorre's character is speaking to Humphrey Bogart. And Lorre says, "You despise me, don't you?" And Bogart says, "If I gave you any thought, I probably would."
Oh,
I love
brutal.
That. It's a double burn. I do despise you, but I don't actually think about you, so fuck you.
Beautiful. Johnny Yeats has said, "What is the best film experience you've ever had on a trip to Blockbuster Video?" Which we can't say, that's Blockbuster. Yeah. I do miss going there.
Yeah, me too.
My first memory that I think of straight away was when my parents took me to get something. I was probably about 14. And I was allowed to what I wanted. Just choose what you want. Go for whatever you want. I picked Aliens.
Nice.
And they let me have it. Oh. And it was in stock. And they were probably hoping it wasn't. I went home and it changed my life forever. Bad parenting. Amazing film.
I don't think I have a specific story. I just have a general memory of when I went to university and I was living up there in Sheffield. And we had like a house Blockbuster card. And I just remember going and getting daft comedies all the time. I remember watching things like Old School.
Yeah.
Just going and getting the cassette tape and watching Old School.
Well, I didn't have Blockbuster in Germany when I was growing up. But when I did move to the UK, I got really excited when I was allowed to get an 18 certificate film and not have to worry about relying on my fake ID.
Nice. Martin the Geek, our official number one fan.
Yeah.
Hello.
They make a film of your life, and the opening credits scene is a montage from birth to now. Name the song that's playing as your montage.
No Doubt, Just a Girl.
Nice.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mine would be Beck, Loser.
You're too harsh on yourself.
Yeah, but it would go so well with my life.
I mean, it is true, but it's too harsh, really, if you think about it. My favourite song of all time is Supercharger Heaven by White Zombie. So it would be that, just because I love it, and also because the chorus is Devil Man, Devil Man, and I don't know. I like to play the heel.
He lies. He told me his favourite song of all time was Travis, Flowers in the Window.
It's pretty good. It's not as good as Teardrops on My Pillow, you know.
Does K dream? Is there an actor or an actress you liked, but because of their personal beliefs or actions, you won't watch their movies anymore? Bit of a political moment right now.
I don't think I'd go as far as to say I wouldn't watch this person's movies, but I'm definitely not as big a fan of Jim Carrey anymore, because back in the day, he got together with Jenny McCarthy, and she's one of these anti-vaccination nut job. So he got on that whole anti-vaccination bandwagon as well. And any people, anyone who is anti-science is a fucking idiot to me, and I won't have it.
So what do you really think?
From what has been coming out, I think, as new sort of earlier on in the year, it's a shame because some of the stuff he did was great. Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
And we know that he's going to be the one that's going to be presenting the Best Actress Award next year. And that pretty much sucks.
Yeah, and then you'll have people just sat on the front row with grimaces on their
face
again.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
For me, it's going to be, for purely his beliefs of being an utter twat, Russell Brand.
But isn't the point of this that it was someone you liked at some point and you've changed your view? I never liked him.
I liked him when I just heard his name for the first time. And then I saw him and I was like, he should have died on an overdose.
He did. He used to be a smackhead, so it's not far off.
That's not being harsh.
It is being harsh. He did a show. Do you remember a channel? I think it was called BBC Choice that used to be on cable back in the day.
Yes.
He did a show where each week he'd go and do different things. I can't remember what it was called. I think it might have been called Rebrand. Mm. And in one of them, he wanted to see what it would be like to be gay, so he wanked a fella off in a toilet cubicle.
Oh my God.
That's the state of the journalism on the BBC, apparently.
Wow. Bloody hell.
Jesus Christ.
How did you come across that?
Brilliant.
A man hire. Right, Ben, you're answering this, okay?
Okay.
I watched Blade Runner for the first time and was massively disappointed. What am I missing?
A soul.
Next question. Badger Man 80. What actor or actress do you have a irrational dislike for, and no matter what they do, you just can't take that hate away from them?
Easy, Kevin James.
His actual real name is Paul Blart, please.
Yeah, Paul Blart Mall Cop. President Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Thank you.
Fuck him.
I've already mentioned it once today. Catherine Heigl. Can't stand the woman. She just got resting bitch face.
The twat from Twilight.
That could be any
Which
of them.
Which one? That's like 14.
The main one, the guy.
Pattinson, whatever his name is.
Done.
Twattinson.
Well done, Gemma.
Dazza Bookseller, if you could appear as a guest on any podcast or YouTube video, which would it be?
Stone Cold. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Unreal.
I would go on Hip Hop Saved My Life with Ramesh Ranganathan, because he just basically gets guests in and talk about hip hop. Heaven.
Gemma, all I'm thinking now is I want to see Mark pronounce Ramesh Ranganathan.
Say it in a sentence.
Yeah, them. I agree.
Them! It's a guy! Oh.
I'm going to go with the obvious modcast, Kevin Smith. He's the reason I wanted to podcast. Yeah. He's amazing. Him and Scott Mosier together are brilliant. Mm-hmm. Even though you don't love his films, you know he's very good at talking.
He's a funny guy.
Very much so.
Not his films, not so much, but him, yeah.
Track and Field. Most anticipated movie right now for the year 2018. Jeez.
Wow.
I'm going to go first. Ready Player One.
Great shout, yeah.
Black Panther.
Yeah, the new
trailer.
Badass.
Amazing.
And the poster's wicked as well. For me, it's Soldado, which is the sequel to Sicario.
Is that next year?
Yes, it is, yes.
Oh, my God. That means this podcast will last at least another year. Brilliant. I didn't realise that's next year.
Yeah.
King Bruno Baratheon. Oh, this is going to get political.
One of our oldest and most, you know...
By oldest, we don't mean she's 87.
Yeah, she's been with us since day one.
And we love her for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have any guest to podcast with on your episode, but you have to then kick one of the other members out, what guest would you choose and who comes on?
Ooh. See, I'd love to have The Rock on because The Rock is so cool and so charming. I think he'd be great value on a podcast. And I'd have to kick Mark off. I'm sorry, dude, but you'd mispronounce his name. You'd call him Wayne Johnston.
Or The Rick.
So The Cock. I mean, Rock. Yeah, that's fair.
I would get Justin Roiland on and Dan Harmon from Rick and Morty. And because he got there first, I'm sorry, Mark, I'll kick you off. Me and Ben would just chat shit and
high
drink.
High five, Gemma, high five.
Yeah.
Do you know what's disappointing? Listen to this, my answer, all right?
Oh, no.
I would get Kevin Smith on, right? Because he's fascinating. I'd love Ben to actually start giving him more respect. And I'd forfeit myself because I'd love you two to have that time with him. And me, as a listener, appreciate my two best friends.
So sorry.
My real answer now will be Edgar Wright and throw you off for life. Gemma. Thank you. I like Ben more.
Well,
that's why I'm not throwing him under the bus.
It's true.
Shahin. Really good name. Who are you dressing up as this year for Halloween?
Me. I don't do dress up.
There we go. Anyone? While you're thinking, I love Haribo sweets. I have them in my house.
That's Haribo.
You're going to dress up as a fried egg.
I genuinely don't want kids coming to my house and taking my sweets. Who would scare the kids off? Ian Watkins.
Brilliant.
There's one choice for me. Pickle Rick!
Nice. You get a lot of love for Rick and Morty right now.
And that's the way the news goes.
It's like I always say, shalom, shalomity, shalom, shalom.
Last couple of questions. This is from Sully, the guy from Funko that sorts us out.
Sully!
First ever question for us. Huh? If the Oscars actually recognised a comic book film as Best Picture,
yeah,
who do you genuinely believe had the best chance of taking this award?
Dark Knight.
I'm with you, dude. Absolutely. 100%.
Yep.
Logan not too far behind.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight should have had it. Best Picture nominee.
Yeah, and then Spider-Man 3.
It's for Sandman.
Oh, God.
And the very final question is from Chris Duck. He's in the middle at the moment of three different viewing challenges, like we are with our horror one.
Yeah.
He's been watching one movie a day, which is crazy. But on the inverse, he wants to know, what's the longest you've gone without watching a movie since starting Skip to the End?
No.
We don't even get 2 days, do we now?
No more than a week. And even, we don't even get a week, I think, is unlikely. Yeah.
We have to now, for the listeners out there, we have to go to the cinema. That's once a week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even if it's a skip trip.
Mm-hmm.
The rewatch will be done at the weekend before we record, so it's nice and fresh. These guys watch them all for the topics. I don't all the time, as you can
lazy.
Point.
Lazy.
We all have to do the movie masturbate research.
Indeed. Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So we must watch probably around 10 every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There's a heck of a lot of cinema we watch.
Yeah. And I love it, though.
Yeah.
I absolutely bloody love it.
Yay,
and on
film.
That note, we will just invite you to keep the questions coming, and we'll answer them all again in 2 weeks' time.
I'm going
to
warn you, I don't think you're going to like how this ends, Hotshot.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of the Skip to the End podcast. I apologise to our listeners. This has been sloppy as hell. But you know what? It's been fun. It's been so much fun.
I'm not apologising for shit. We've had a good time. We've had a lot of fun. And I think these are the ones where we let our hair down a bit. And for the listeners out there, we normally record on a Sunday before we go back to work. So we're wanting to die inside. Right now it's Friday night and we're having a beer. We're having a cider. A Recorderlig cider.
That's Recorderlig.
And listen to us. We're having a blast.
Yeah.
I'm
now on the Asda own brand wine. That's Asda own brand.
That's, I don't want that shit. Want some good stuff, man.
Before we end the show, of course, we have our final section, which is Skip to the Recommend. That's where we come to you with our pop culture recommendation of the week. It can be something brand new we've discovered or something old that we've only just discovered. Either way, we want you to get involved and enjoy it too. Marky Mark, I'm going to throw it to you first. What is your Skip to the Recommend this week?
It's a book.
Ooh.
It's an art book.
Ooh.
The Art of Mondo.
Ooh.
One of the best bits of money I've spent all year.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way I believe that I can actually get this through to you both, just how good it is. I brought the big fucker with me.
Oh, that looks cool.
The Art of Mondo hardback book, which is unbelievable. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass it to Ben and ask him to open it on any page of the whole book.
Right.
And I guarantee, whatever film it is, it doesn't matter if it's something he hates, the artwork, he'll just be like, this is gorgeous.
Here we go.
It is heavy.
It is.
It's like the Book of the Dead.
Watch, imagine now the...
Back to the Future, of course.
Look how good it is.
That's so cool. So it's the front end of the DeLorean, the grey of the DeLorean against the yellow of the floor and the sky.
And now
it's gorgeous.
Open up that.
That's beautiful.
Look at that.
It's the whole thing,
Oh my God.
That's unreal.
Listen to that. Now let's shut it and pass it to Gemma.
Yeah, your turn.
Okay.
It's that good. This is every single page, I think there's 500 pages, has an incredible printed, really high quality paper poster that you couldn't ever buy.
I feel like a borrower. This thing's huge.
That's what she
there
said.
There we go. That's a scene from the cantina.
It's the Mos Eisley cantina.
Look at it.
Synergy.
Look at that.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. This is stunning.
This is a game we could play all day long.
Yeah, shall we?
Do one more, Gemma, while we're here. One more randomly.
I do one more.
Watch it be something shit, Mac and me.
Oh, my my God, right. Oh, on the left-hand side, we have Dawn of the Dead, and we've got a load of zombies. There's some with eyes hanging out. There's blood everywhere, and it's got a beautiful yellow sky with a helicopter in the sky.
And your favourite film on the right, Gemma?
Oh, for fuck's sake. We've got Hobo with a Shotgun. I'm done.
What a beautiful book. Gorgeous.
Look at it.
That's wicked. How much did that set you back?
£29.
Worth it.
Which is worth every single penny from Amazon right now. But look at the Amazon. Quality. This is the ultimate coffee book?
Coffee table.
It's beautiful. There's nothing else I can really say. I'm going to pick one myself.
Go on. Do you want a drum roll?
Please do the thing. Look at the drive poster.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Attack the Block on the right.
Very cool.
Everything about it.
Yeah, and Attack the Block has to be a future rewatch.
It might be. Turtles.
Yeah. Look at this. Look at the shading on the turtle head.
Should we just keep doing this all day? Goldfinger. Amazing. It's every single Dracula. You've got it all. All the old school Avengers.
The Avengers one. That's sweet.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. This isn't good King for people Kong. Who are listening to this on audio, you realize. I'm loving it.
Reeling him off, aren't we?
Yes, please check it out. Gemma, tell us about yours.
Okay. So I'm gonna recommend a universe.
Ooh.
So the reason I'm recommending a universe I'm recommending a universe because it's a 3-in-1. So the universe is from a guy called Aaron Menke, and the universe is called Lore. L-O-R-E, not L-A-W. So Lore originated from his podcast that releases a new episode every other week. At the moment in October, he's releasing a few extras because of it being Halloween. Mm-hmm. And the TV series has just started streaming on Amazon Prime last Friday the 13th.
Well done.
I wonder
if they planned that.
Yes. So there's 6 episodes ready to watch. And he's also just released a book called The World of Lore, Monstrous Creatures. And all 3 are wonderful. It's an award-winning and critically acclaimed podcast originally about true life scary stories. So it has a real tale around the campfire kind of feel to it. So it explores legends such as werewolves, witches, ghosts and body snatchers, just to name a few. And actually going on to body snatchers, speaking of body snatchers, my favourite episode that he's done on Lore is the story about Burke and Hare. It is absolutely wonderful. He sort of paints this picture where you can actually see the action happening. And it relates so wonderfully onto the TV show too. And it's not just bit actors. These are really good performances. One even from Robert Patrick, T-1000 himself.
Awesome.
He crops up in episode 4. And it also melds in with some beautiful original animation. So it tells it in this kind of other world, kind of ethereal way. The book kind of reflects the stories that are told on the podcast, so you do kind of get a bit of deja vu with it, but it's a cozy yet spooky environment just to immerse yourself in, and Aaron Menke has one of the nicest voices to listen to. It's great, it really is. You listen to one, the next thing you know, you've listened to about 5 or 6 in a row.
Yeah, you're not the first person to recommend this to me. Both yourself and my friend Laura say that I need to get into this. Mm. You mentioned Burke and Hare there a minute ago. Yeah. Did you ever see the piss-poor Simon Pegg film about that?
Thankfully not.
Why did he do that?
Shouldn't have to.
And you know what the really annoying thing is? That episode, the way how the story is told, is fascinating. And afterwards you go, yeah, I'd really like to see a reenactment of that. And then I keep remembering a film like that's been made. And I'm like, nah.
Lore, right now, are genuinely taking over the world. They've got their own TV, they've got their own podcast. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I look, people are obsessing over it. Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Fantastic. And one of the good things about the TV show, it really does capture that spirit of good horror. So it's not, you know, it's not graphic. It doesn't suggest, you know, like there's blood and guts everywhere. It's the retelling of the story. It has that real kind of, that atmosphere that you love about scary stories. It's wonderful.
So it's more sort of like macabre rather than just gory for the
exactly.
sake of gore. Yeah,
it's the way it's told is meticulous.
Come on then, Ben, we've set the bar pretty high this time.
Yeah. Well, I'm going with the TV show as well. And it's The Deuce.
Oh, I want to see this, James Franco.
In the 70s.
Absolutely right. So it's a show that's on Sky Atlantic here in the UK, and I think we've had 4 episodes so far. And then over in the US, it's on HBO, and I think they're up to about episode 7. It's created by David Simon, who created The Wire, which is one of the greatest shows of all time. Mark, I don't think you've seen The Wire.
I've still not seen it.
Oh, man, gotta get involved. The show, as Gemma said, is set in the 70s, and it focuses on the sex trade around New York's Times Square. It looks at the legalization of porn and how it took prostitutes off the street corner and then onto the silver screen. And it's a brilliant, brilliant study of the women who worked the corners, the pimps who looked after them, the mafia who ran all this thing, the bar owners who were dragged into it. It's a brilliant show with an amazing cast. It stars Maggie Gyllenhaal as a prostitute who's looking for a better life, so she tries to work her way into movies. And also James Franco as twin brothers. He plays one who's like a sensible bar owner who gets sucked into being a front for the porn industry, and the other one is a degenerate gambler who the better one always has to look after. And I've never been a huge fan of Franco. I've always kind of liked him in things, but I've never loved him in anything. I love him in this. As the two brothers, they genuinely feel like two different human beings. And this is such an odd thing to say, but he has insane chemistry with himself. The way the two brothers, who, again, I remind you, are the same person, how they interplay with one another, the way they knock off on one another, is flawless. How he's doing that, it's some of the best acting I've ever seen. He's genuinely brilliant. He's one of the producers on the show. He's directed a couple of episodes as well, I think. But he's never been better. The cast also features a lot of alums from The Wire, so people like Method Man, who's in The Wire.
Oh, yes, Method Man.
Yeah, he plays a pimp in this, and he's
yes.
brilliant. Larry Gilliard Jr., who was in The Wire, he plays a cop in this, who just can't understand what's going on in the streets of New York. It's this sprawling, dense narrative, and it's like The Wire in so much as they don't show it to you fully formed. Most TV shows insist in the pilot of showing you everything because they want to suck you in. They want to go, this is what we do, come back again next week. David Simon doesn't give a shit about that. He will tell the story at the pace it deserves to be told. So after the four episodes I've seen, they still haven't even got to the porn bit. I know what that's about. I know that's what's coming, but they're still sort of focused on the origins of how the prostitutes moved into that. And the Wire was the same. That never really became its thing until sort of episode 4 or 5. You've got to give it time, you've got to have patience, but it's lush and it's gorgeous. And a lot of that is down to the fact that the pilot was directed by Michelle MacLaren, who is an absolute ringer when it comes to directing TV. She did some of the best episodes of Breaking Bad. And all the directors who've come after her have kept that template. And Gemma, you'll appreciate this especially. The soundtrack is unreal. It's all these 70s funk and soul tunes.
Man.
The whole thing, it feels legit. A lot of period pieces, it kind of feels like, ah, look at how old school we look. You know, things about the 80s, it's like, yeah, we get it. You've shown us a Rubik's Cube. We know it's the 80s. You know, they try too hard. This feels lived in. It feels genuine. And I'm just loving every single second of it. So get on board. If you're in the UK, get on Sky Atlantic. If you're in the US, get on HBO. Watch it. It's brilliant. Genuinely brilliant.
I'm sold.
Done. What a absolute blessing for the listeners out there. Mm-hmm. You get a good book. You get a good podcast or TV series, mm-hmm. and you get this.
Yes.
We do
amazing.
It all. We do it all.
And now James Franco is in your mind. You can appreciate how good he is. And in only about 6 weeks' time, we'll see him on screen in the cinema. Mm,
and potential Oscar winner.
He's winning awards already.
I can't wait for the disaster.
I know.
It's going to be amazing. But yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
What have we got? What have we got coming up in 2 weeks' time?
I don't know.
Gemma, what is our topic?
Well, we're going to be discussing, it's a bit of a different one, we're going to be discussing our top three underrated actors and actresses. So this is coming from each of our own personal opinions. I think it's going to be a really good one to kind of sink our teeth into.
Big time. Mark, what's the rewatch?
It is Almost Famous. Listen, look at me already.
You're so happy.
I know how much you love this film. And I'm genuinely excited because I haven't seen it. So,
good.
Yeah, I'm really up for it. Our review, which, Mark, you're not excited about.
Only by the trailer.
Is Murder on the Orient Express, which Gemma, I know you and we're like...
I can't wait.
The trailers. I think the trailers are really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And I love Kenneth Branagh. I think it's going to be a damn good film. So I'm looking forward to that. Gemma, who are we mass debating over?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, every episode I always think, oh, my God, you're not going to believe who it is.
Yeah.
But you genuinely are not going to believe who it is. It's Leonardo Di Bloody Caprio.
I might cry. It's too good.
Have you ever cried while masturbating?
So, Mark, what's our competition next time?
We're giving away Funkos. We're giving away T-shirts. We're giving away the Bluetooth waterproof dock so you can listen to us in the bath, which people do.
Yeah.
People have tweeted us saying they listen to us in the bath.
Old Smokey, Midnight Smoke, I know he likes to listen in the bath.
He bloody loves a good bath and he loves a good podcast.
Oh.
We've got shitloads to give away and the Lego stuff. I want to see people making stuff out of Lego and sending us pictures.
Please do. And, you know, follow us on social media. Twitter at STTEpodcast, facebook.com/skiptotheendpodcast, or go to skiptotheend.co.uk. You'll find all of our links and all of our other fun shit that we have on that beautifully designed website.
It is.
I've had a good day today.
Oh, it's been great.
I've had a great day. See you in 2 weeks.
Kunye!